Okay, so I've begun the recording. Hello, everyone. Good afternoon. This is Erica Ferenczi. I hope everybody is doing amazingly well. This is the Business Bootcamp class, week number 3. And today is, hold on, January 21st, 2020. We are a few days away from the LQM. Actually, I believe that today is Tuesday. The business bootcamp live event is going to be this Friday and Saturday. I hope that most of you are already signed up. I have a list of around 6 of you that have not signed up. So if you haven't and you still want to participate, if you still want to come, there is still time to make it. Please email me at Erica with a K, Erica, E-R-I-K-A-F, as in Frank, Erica F, at howtomanagedotcom. Email me and I'm happy to help you and support you in any way that I can so you can make it there. Okay, so the first thing that I want to say today is, oh, somebody just joined as a co-host. I'm assuming that is Stephanie. Okay. Whoever just joined as a co-host, if you can, please just send me a chat just to know who you are. That would be fantastic. Okay. So last week we talked about your menu of services. We talked about the key metrics in your business, your financial metrics in your business. We talked about net profit, gross profit, about your average case value. We also talked a little bit about your gross revenues, your gross profit. We talked about your marketing, right? How to get to that marketing number of the leads that your marketing will have to attract in order for you to be able to achieve your personal, financial, and professional goals at the end of the year. So what we're going to be doing today is that I'm going to start, as we always do, with teaching you the lesson of the day. And after I do that, I am going to open it up for questions, either about the homework that you had to do from last week to this week, which had to do with you watching the lesson of defining the financial goals from the LQM, where we walk the members again through all these numbers and what they mean, making sure that your goals actually can be translated into your personal goals, your professional goals, your financial goals. And you are arriving at the number of leads that your marketing needs to produce for your business based on your average case value, so you can reach those goals and any other questions that you might have. And we're going to do that today at the Q&A portion. Now, the lesson. What is the lesson going to be today? We are going to be talking about 3 very, very important things. Number one, we're going to give you a mindset lesson. Somebody just joined and is unmuted. Hold on a second. Might that be? Okay, I think I found them. Okay, good. If you're just joining this webinar, please mute yourselves. Okay, so going back to the mindset lesson, we are going to do a mindset lesson. As I've already shared with you, it is not serendipity that we help law firms grow 20%, 30%, 40%, 100% year after year after year. It is not by chance. It is not by luck. You know, it is a very strategically designed process that has to do a lot with helping individuals and law firm owners to change how they think so those thoughts can reflect into different actions and those actions can reflect in different results. So you already know because you've been here with me now for 2 weeks and this is going to be the 3rd week and most likely all of you have already consumed videos and audios and all of that of the things that are on our website and audios and videos from Arjun, et cetera, that is one of our secret sauce. To be honest, I don't think that there's another company in the planet that leads for coaching services, mentoring services for small law firm owners. Small law firm owners is that brings together to such an extent and with such mastery the two components that are fundamental for explosive growth. And one of them is marketing, sorry, mindset. The other one is strategy. That's where the secret sauce is. So today we're going to begin with a mindset lesson, as we most of the times do. And then we are also going to be talking about the famous gas goals. And I'm going to give you a script and I'm going to explain to you how this gets done and why is it important and why it works. I am also going to share with you some of the results that our members, our clients achieve when they actually get serious about doing gas goals and, you know, giving a damn or giving a shit about their previous clients. And then we're also going to be talking about sales. Super, super important. There is very few people in the planet, you know, obviously all is relative because obviously there's not like just, you know, tens of people, probably there's thousands of them. But if you put it into context of the billions of people that are in the planet, there's very few people in the planet that conduct sales in the way that we're going to teach you, and I will teach you today to conduct sales. It's a very, very powerful process. It's a very personal process, and it is also a process that can be absolutely transformational and life-changing for your business and for your results. So that's what we have in store today. We're going to do those three things, and then we're going to go and open for Q&A. So what I would suggest is that there's quite a few of you on the line. If you know you have a question, if you know that you need laser coaching, please make sure that you press *6 now. And that way you can raise your hand and you can get in line in queue for the Q&A. Okay. So let me see. Hold on a second. Let me go to my notes. Okay, so we are going to begin with mindset. So lesson number one is mindset matters. Mindset is fundamental for the success of your business, for the success of you personally, for your personal results, for your financial results. And within mindset, your environment, the environment in which you allow yourself or put yourself into on an everyday basis, on an every week basis, matters. The people that you around, that you allow to surround you, because it's your choice, right? You are choosing whether it is by not doing anything or by consciously allowing those people to be around you. You choose the people that live and work and spend time with you or the people that are around you. Everything that is going on is important. Everything that is going on in your environment is having an effect on you. You are never, ever not affected by your environment. You know, I think it was Jim Rohn that said, you are going to be the average, or your results are going to be the average of the five people that you spent most of your time around or with. So if you think about who do you spend your time with? Who are the people that you spend most of your time around, and what kind of results do those people have? And then the question that you want to ask yourself is, do you want those same results? Because if you do, check mark, good for you, high five. If you don't, that's a problem. You need to change your environment. You need to change the people that you associate with. I'm going to tell you why. Because at the end of the day, every individual is a culmination of their habits and their patterns. And your habits and your patterns are going to be and have been ingrained in you since you were a little kid by what you saw around you, but how you were brought up, but what your parents did, and so on and so forth. And as long as you allow yourself to keep being in that environment with the assumption that that's not the environment that you want to replicate for you, maybe you want to achieve more than your parents achieved, maybe you want to live a different kind of life that your family did, then that means that you need to change the people that you associate with. Because the people that have better results than you, the people that are more successful than you, the people that are more financially successful than you, the people that are more are better health fitted, like fitted in their in their health and in their appearance. All those people that have more of X than you, whether it's money, time, success, reputation, health, whatever it is, what I guarantee you is that the secret sauce comes down to the micro decisions that those people make on an everyday basis. Your results are going to be determined by the micro decisions that you make on an everyday moment, right? So just to put an example for you, if what you want to do is to lose weight, for example, and you eat, you drink, I don't know, let's say that you drink one soda a week, a day per week, and you are drinking seven sodas a week, for example. If you just cut that in half, suddenly you just diminish your intake of sodas, by your calorie intake from sodas by whatever, let's say that they are not diet, by 1500 calories a week. But that is a decision you make. And if every time that you sit on a table or you go to eat or you go out, everybody around you is drinking their sodas or having this or that or the other food, you're sitting there, your decisions are going to become increasingly, your good choices towards losing weight are going to be increasingly more difficult to make than if you were sitting on a table around people who are already experiencing what you want to experience, and they're already making the choices that you want to be making. So there's this old joke of the people that are playing poker. So poker players, they say that if you're sitting down to play a game of poker and you cannot spot the sucker, well, it means that you are the sucker. So if you're going through life not recognizing that your environment is affecting your mindset and your mindset is affecting how you react and how your business functions, then you are the person to blame. You are the sucker. Your environment affects your mindset. Your mindset affects your actions. Your actions and decisions affect the results you get, period, full stop. This is why so much of what we do is to help grow businesses is personal development. Personal development will always precede professional development. Today, we're going to be talking about an excellent book that we recommend to everybody that wants to grow a business. It's called The Top 10 Distinctions. The Top 10 Distinctions Between Millionaires and the Middle Class by Keith Cameron Smith. I'm going to say that again. The Top 10 Distinctions Between Millionaires and the Middle Class by Keith Cameron Smith. And I was going to read a few key quotes from the book and go over some of the 10 distinctions between the millionaires and the middle class, because it's going to affect how your business operates. There are thousands of great books written on success. Each one of them, I'm sure, that reveals a slightly different perspective as to what you need to do to achieve success and fulfillment. And sometimes the smallest distinction is the one that makes the biggest difference in our lives, in our understanding. Sometimes somebody can explain a certain principle this way, and another person can explain it that way. And you know what? Who knows? Maybe this other way is a way that just connects with you and the way that makes all the difference in your life. In our experience, in our opinion, most people do not spend enough time defining success. So what we're going to do is, let me just ask you this question, and you don't have to answer me right now, but I would like to invite you to please answer it to yourself. Write down, if right now today is January 21st, 2020, did you or you did not take the time before the first of the year or within the first 5 days of the year to sit down and define what is that you needed to achieve on each area of your life? Personal, professional, relationships, parenthood, health, spirituality, friendships, etc. On each area of your life by the end of 2020 to make 2020 an absolute success. Did you sit down for a few hours to determine and write down in plain English, black and white, ink of paper or computer, whatever, what needs to happen and how does your life, personally, professionally, financially, needs to look like at the end of 2020 for you to achieve success, for you, for 2020 to be an absolute success. Most people don't. If you did, kudos for you. If you didn't, make sure that you make that a priority. And what I'm going to give you right now is a framework that I'm going to ask you to please use in defining what success is going to mean for you. This is going to be extremely, extremely important for you and for your business as your business begins to grow. And these are the things that are going to plant the seeds for that success. You are going to be really, really glad that you took the time to start thinking about it, because it's that transformational. So just for you to have an idea, how to manage a small law firm grosses around $1 million a month. But back during the time where this was not the case, then what Arjun had to do was to sit down and actually decide how much money would he needed, what kind of life he wanted to have, and how much money did the business needed to gross in order for that to come to pass. Pretty much exactly the same thing that we taught you on the bootcamp lesson number one, call number one. So sit down and decide, number one, your life plan. What kind of life do you want to be living? What kind of friendships, what kind of house, what kind of vacations, what kind of lifestyle do you want to have ultimately? And then at the end of the day after that, how much is that your business needs to grow in order for you to achieve those goals? At the end of the day, you need to stop comparing yourself with other people. You've got to really embrace the idea that you're running your own race and that you're the only person you're competing against, because you cannot get your motivation from other people's performance. Because if you do that, you are going to be an emotional wreck. Either you're going to be doing way better than others, and then those results are going to go to your ego, and you're going to naturally, because we're all human beings, stop striving, because we feel like we're so much better than others, or you are going to feel like a loser because people around you have way better results than you. So stop comparing yourself to other people and only use your goals and what you want your life to look like in order for you to set your goals, in order for you to set your pace. You will always be able to find someone whose performance in life, is worse than you, and others whose performance in life is better than you. But you know what? You're not living their lives. You are not in their houses, in their offices. So you cannot pretend or use those people as a way to dictate what you want to achieve. That is very destructive and self-abusing pattern. So please don't do that. The reason why I am saying this is because that's how most people set their goals. Oh, let me see what this person achieved, or that person achieved, or the other person that I really admire achieved. You put those people in a pedestal. And then if you don't achieve exactly what they achieved, because God knows where did you get this idea that that's exactly what was possible for you, then you feel like crap. And we don't want you to do that. So, look at your life and look at everywhere where you are using other people's performance in order to set your objectives, and please stop doing that. Your financial needs need to be based on your own goals, your life plan, like I already explained to you. Okay? So, let me go here to the first distinction between millionaires and the middle class is that millionaires ask themselves empowering questions. Millionaires ask themselves empowering questions. Oh my God, I'm sorry, I'm gonna go back. I think that I had to start by number 10, not by number one. That was number one. I'm gonna go back, number 10. So millionaires think long term. The middle class, the people who are not as successful, the people that are not as financially successful, think short term. Society can be broken into five groups of people: the very, very poor, the middle class, the rich, and the very, very rich. And each one of these groups thinks differently about money. Very poor people think day to day, and rightly so, right? They need to survive. Poor people think week by week, day by day, sometimes hour by hour. Middle class people think month by month. What do I need to do this month or maybe this next couple of weeks? Rich people think year by year. And very rich people think decade to decade, or longer time frame. So 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, or maybe you decide where you want to be 10 years from now. And based on that, you decide where do you need to be 5 years from now, and then 3 years from now, and so on and so forth. Rich people, very rich people, develop the discipline of delayed gratification. What is not important is what you want to do today. What is not important is how good or bad it feels today. I promise you, and listen, I have nothing against people who are overweight. I don't want you to start losing weight. The only reason why I use the example and the analogies of losing weight, sometimes I will use losing weight. In other times, I'll use, the analogies about personal relationships, emotional relationships. Sometimes I will use the analogy of money. Why? Because everybody can relate to that. Each and every one of you has ever wanted to either gain or lose weight. Each and every one of you most likely have been in any kind of friendship or personal relationship with someone. And each and every one of you at some point wanted to make more money. So that's why I use them. Okay. So if you, for example, if you are wanting to lose 15 pounds or 10 pounds, whatever the number is, and you have a chocolate cake in front of you and you really, really want to eat that chocolate cake. And what you do is you actually do eat it, is for two reasons. Number one, you're thinking about your short-term pleasure. You're thinking about instant gratification. And number two, you're not aware of the real consequences of making that decision right now. Because I promise you that if you took one bite of that chocolate cake and instantly, by art of magic, you would gain, let's say, 25 pounds, the pain would be so strong that you will not do it again. Because you would link the action of eating the cake to the pain of gaining 25 pounds. The problem is that in most cases in life, that's not how it works. In most cases in life, what happens is you eat the cake right now and you don't see the results until 3, 4, 6 months later when you continue to have the same actions. So there's a delay between the action and the pain. And that's how people get in trouble. So one of the things that I would like to ask you is that you think about where in your life, where in your business, where in your financials, where in your relationships are you thinking short term? Are you thinking or acting without intent, all for instant gratification? Okay. So let me see, what is this? Okay, distinction number two. Millionaires talk about ideas. The middle class talks about things and other people. Millionaires think about ideas, and people from the middle class or people who are struggling talk about other people. So in other words, gossiping, what other people are doing. Your words are like a sheep rudder. They determine which direction you are going in life. And to become successful, you must continually expand your mind, explore ideas, explore possibilities and new ways of doing things. Stop criticizing others. Stop looking at what is wrong in others. Stop looking at what is wrong in your life. Stop looking at what is wrong in your relationships, in your finances. Start complimenting. Start feeling gratitude and happiness for what you have going on for you, and the doors of opportunity will start to open. People in general love to be praised. You want somebody to do something for you, praise them, but be authentic. Do not lie, obviously, right? If you praise people for what they are doing well, they will help you every single time. People who are struggling financially from the middle class, that's how the book calls them, they are always gossiping. Don't do that. Stop complaining and focus in having an attitude of gratitude. Very, very important. What you put your attention to, that is what will expand. Okay. Hold on. Next one is they embrace change. So, so freaking important. They embrace change. Millionaires embrace change. The middle class is threatened by change. Change can either be positive or negative, but the middle class assumes that change will be negative. They are afraid of change. They want everything to stay as a status quo because they are afraid that it's going to be worse. Millionaires assume that all change is positive or negative, but no matter what it is, it might be negative in the short term, but in the long term will always be positive. They will always benefit something somehow. You know, people say when you lose, because you lose, you might have not the you might not have the results that you were expecting today. Again, going back to the instant gratification or the long-term view, right? You might not have the results that you were expecting right now. And let's call that you lose, right? But you don't lose the lesson. As long as you don't lose the lesson, then you won't feel challenged by change and you would be open to opportunities. Change always teaches people new things that they need to learn. So you need to embrace change. Hold on a second. Next one is 7. Take calculated risks. I'm just trying to find my notes for each one of them. Take calculated risks, emphasis on the word risk. Lawyers by nature want and enjoy, and they are trained to reduce risk. I get that, right? I was we were hosting a workshop about leadership and management for some lawyers 10 days ago or something like that, very recently, a week and a half ago. And one of the things that we were saying is that there are two different hats that you will have to wear on a consistent basis. One is the hat of the lawyer. The lawyer by nature, by trade, is expected that is wanting to reduce risk. But then there's the other hat that you need to be consistently be wearing, which is the hat of the entrepreneur. The hat of the entrepreneur. And that is where you realize and you understand that change and risk is good. Now, calculated risk, okay? Because risk is where profit lives in business. If you reduce all risk from any venture, you will remove all the potential for profit in that venture. If there is no risk, nobody is willing to pay you to do it. If there is no risk, nobody is willing to give you a premium for getting it done. If there is no risk, there is no profit. Profit comes from the exploitation of the management and the successful navigation of handling of risk. So everybody and anytime that you find a risk, and please note, I am not saying that you should be reckless, okay? But every time that you find a risk, calculate the risk. What is the worst that could happen if I take this risk? What is the best that could happen if I take this risk? If you can live with, it's more or less, you know, okay, if everything goes wrong, what is the worst I could lose? Well, I could lose I don't know, I'm just going to give an example, $1,000. Okay, you know what? Maybe I decide to take that risk. If the risk involved is my child might get killed, well, no, don't freaking take the risk, right? But you need to manage and to put in a balance those two things before saying no to risk. Say, what is the worst that could happen? What is the best that could happen? And take calculating risks. Don't be trying to spend all your time as an entrepreneur to eliminate the risks in your business, or otherwise you're not going to grow. Your business is not going to grow. If you're not careful, you're going to inadvertently eliminate all potential for profit in your law firm. So embrace change. If you want your law firm to change, you'll have to change things about your law firm. If you want to change the gross revenues of your law firm, you're going to have to change the marketing. You will have to change the sales. You can might think about changing the prices that you sell your services for. You might have to change how you produce the services and how the production gets done. If you don't do those things, you won't be able to change the revenues of the firm. If you want to change the profitability of the law firm with a change in efficiencies or in systems, that is an option. If you don't change those things, you really cannot increase profitability of your business. If you want to change the amount of things that are predictable, if you want to increase the amount of things that are predictable in your law firm, you want more predictability, then stop managing change and start managing the causes that produce that predictability. In other words, the causes of the things that produce the revenue, which is at the end, marketing, sales, production, and speed of collections or collections, right? Marketing, sales, production, and speed of collections. I know we have not spoken here. I think I mentioned it briefly last week about we have this thing that is called rules of profitability. There is only 5 ways to increase the profits in any law firm, in any business for that matter. And there's an acronym for that, which is called RULES. We are going to be talking about this at the Business Plan Live Bootcamp in the LQM. I'm just going to give you a preview. RULES, your rates. Utilization, how much is your team utilized and how close to 100% capacity of utilization is your team. L, leverage. Are you leveraging systems, policies, procedures, checklists, softwares, things that can leverage your team? And also in leverage, is the work being pushed down to the lower level paid employee capable of doing the work successfully? Expenses, are expenses being controlled? Are you being and you creating a difference between dynamic expenses and static expenses? And are you controlling the expenses? And S, speed of collection. How long does it take you after you perform the work in order to get paid? Just to give you an idea, and I promise you, this is absolutely true. Promise you, you know, pinky swear promise. And I think I made this story for you this year. Well, during 2019, last year, we helped a member who had, I think he ended 2018 with around $1.8 million in business. He has been with us now for 6 years or 7 years. Ended in 1.8, then had a goal of 2.5. We helped him end in 3.2. So instead of reaching 2.5, he reached $3.2 million of gross revenues in 1 year. He went from 1.8 to 3.2 just by working on the rules of profitability. That's it. We didn't get more sales. We didn't get more leads. We didn't get any of that just by the rules in profitability. So super, super important. Okay, let's go talk about number 6. Continuously learn and grow. Continuously learn and grow. Millionaires continually learn and grow. the middle class thinks that learning ended with school. In other words, people who are millionaires and are successful are aware that school is never out for high performers. You know that every time you learn something, you just become aware of how much more you didn't know. You become aware of that. You continually read, you educate yourself, you invest in knowledge, in books, audio programs, paid advice from people who already have what you want. Coaches, mentors, seminars, events. Study what you love and love what you study. Study what you love and love what you study. You need to know your priorities and balance the attention, obviously, that you put into your family and to the study that you are doing. Okay, this is pretty self-explanatory. I already told you, school is never out for high performers, and you are a high performer, right? There is never a graduation moment. There is never a finish line. As long as you're alive, there is always more to do. There's always more to achieve. There's always more good to do in the world. You need to keep on learning and growing. Okay, so number five, we are going to, let me just go. Millionaires work for profits. The middle class works for wages. Millionaires work for profits. The middle class work for wages. Wages are what you get paid and you receive for the work you do. But profits are the results of buying something for one price and selling it for a higher price. Millionaires are in the business of sales. It's been said that over 90% of people who make more than $100,000 are engaged in some sort of sales process, some sorts of sales process. I'm going to walk you quickly, because I want to wrap this up through 4, 3, 2, and 1. And then we're going to spend a little bit of time during on 1. So number 4, you must be generous. You must exhibit a generosity. You must operate from a place of generosity always. Very, very important. You need to be generous. You need to want to help people. You need to give value to others and be generous. Do not be greedy. Do not operate from a place where you believe that there's not abundance in the universe, that there are only limited resources. So you just need to get. And in order for you to win or to get, others need to lose. No, there's more than enough for everyone to go around. Focus on giving first. You know, we talked about this where when we talked about networking and engaging with people, you need to work with generosity. Number 3, have multiple sources of income, not only one source of income. Probably right now you might have only one source of income, but as you keep on progressing, as your business keep growing, think about what else can I sell? How can I add value? How could I add another offering to my services so I keep expanding into what I do? Maybe you start putting money away in order to put your money into investments. Maybe you put money into rental properties. Maybe you do something, again, rather than the instant gratification of I made $1,000 extra, let me just spend those $1,000 today. Maybe you say, you know what, I need this amount of money to survive and live, you know, the life that I want to live. And after that, every extra $1,000 that I get, or $5,000 that I get, I am going to start putting it away for investments in order to have multiple sources of income. Then, number 2, focus on increasing their net worth. Self-explanatory, I think. It goes hand in hand with the investment, with the investments long-term that you're going to be having. Net worth is definitely directly related with your gross revenues. But net income is what is going to matter most to your family. You cannot pay your bills with gross profit. You can only pay your bills with net income. We went through that last week. And we're going to go back to it right now. At some point in the beginning, listen, we all need to build gross revenues. I mean, that's it. It's not like we should not build it, right? We all need to begin by gross revenues. Let me see. Oh, what happened with my dashboard? Hold on, because I can't see you guys. Okay, I don't know where this went. Okay. James, I know that you're with me on the line, so if anybody has a question, can you please text me while I finish this lesson if I need to address anything? Thank you. Okay. At some point in the beginning, we need to build gross revenues because we cannot take money from where there's no money, right? You cannot take a gallon out when there's no gallons. We cannot take $200,000 a year out of $100,000 gross revenue. So obviously at the beginning, we're going to focus on gross revenues. But at some point, we need to focus on increasing the profits. So you want to shift your attention to your profits. Very, very important. Okay, and then number net worth. And number one, super important, they ask empowering questions. They ask empowering questions. So empowering questions are the ones that allow you to learn from the questions that you're asking. Not the questions where you, oh my God, why me? Or, oh my God, why is this so difficult? Or, oh my God, why is that everybody has it easier than me and I am the only one struggling? So questions that are focused on how much you're struggling are not empowering questions. An empowering question can be something like, somebody unmuted themselves.
Yeah, Erica, sorry to bother. Can you give me number two again?
Yes. Oh, I found my dashboard. Thank you so much. Who's this?
Jay Stafford.
Hey, Jake. Okay. Yes. Number two is millionaires focus on increasing their net worth. Middle class focuses on increasing its paychecks. So that's where we talked about gross revenues and net profit. Do you have it?
Yeah, I got it. Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome. Okay. And thank you for asking your question because that allowed me to find my dashboard. Okay. And number one, ask yourself empowering questions. What can I learn from this experience? What can I do? What can I learn? How can I grow? Not, oh my God, why is this so hard? No, you know, we recognize and we stop believing on fairy tales and we stop believing that there is some magic pill and some fairy, fabulous fairy that is going to come at night and sprinkle us with fairy dust and we're going to wake up tomorrow as millionaires. No, that's not how it happens. In order for you to have success, in order for you to be a better basketball player, a better business owner, a better salesperson, a better soccer player, a better husband, a better parent, a better whatever you want to be, you need to put in the hard work. You need to be grateful for hard work. Stop looking for the magic pill, willing to put in the work, take chances, calculated risks. Make sure that you ask yourself what is the best that could happen if I take this opportunity? And what is the worst that could happen? And then move forward in spite of your fear and tribulations. I am looking for a quote that I really want to give you that is one of my favorite quotes. It says, I don't even remember in which one of the books that I read I got this, so forgive me about that, but it says, when you're wanting to make a choice, choose first what excites you. Then choose what will also teach you something, where you will learn, where you will become better, when you will win, there's the potential for winning. And then from those three, choose the one that is the scariest. The one, number one, the one that thrills you and excites you. Number two, the one that will also teach you something and help you grow. And three, the one that is the scariest. Most people want to choose things that quote unquote is gonna help them get better or get more success or get more money or get more whatever. But you know what? I want to do that as long as I don't feel too challenged. You know what? As long as I don't feel too scared, as long as that doesn't take me out of my comfort zone. Like, that's crap. That is not how it happens. You need to be willing to be challenged. Okay, so those are the 10 distinctions between the millionaires and the middle class. The author is Keith Cameron Smith. This is a very thin, very little book, completely transformational, I believe. You can buy it on Amazon. I totally recommend that you do. Okay, having said that, we're going to go to Gaskell's, okay? We're going to start talking about Gaskell's. You have heard me say 100 times already that Gaskell's is, oh, just one more thing. I'm sorry. You need to also remember or be reminded that when success in business is not about doing 5,000 things, but about doing a few things 5,000 times. And this goes hand in hand with some of the principles that we already discussed. Think about doing fewer things, but do them really, really, really well. Think about consistency. Even if I teach you Gaskell's, even if I teach you how to sell, even if I teach you marketing, even if I teach you how to set a referral system, if you do those things once, are you going to get some results? Yes. Are you going to get transformational results? The reality is that it's not. So make sure that you reduce the number of things that you're doing and you focus on doing a few things really, really well. There's a lot of people, you know, that we see them here and there, that are throwing very large amounts of money into PPC or Google or AdWords or this or that or the other when they don't know what they are doing. And the problem is not that they are doing that. The problem is that they are disregarding the things that work. Is there a moment in which PPC is something you need to do? And by the way, for those that don't know what PPC is, it's pay-per-click advertisement. Or you need to do other things in your business that have to do with online marketing? Yes, absolutely. There's a moment where that is applicable. Is that when you are struggling for money coming in or struggling to get your first clients or struggling or working towards getting your first $300,000? No, that is not the moment, okay? Building a million-dollar law firm is very simple. You don't need 20 different marketing strategies to build a million-dollar law firm. You just need 4 or 5 strategies done really, really well and consistently. Done consistently. If you want to build a $500,000 firm, you just need 2 or 3 strategies executed really, really well and consistently. If you are on the stage where you're going to start playing or doing Twitter and Facebook and PPC and this and the other, just make sure that it's not where you are struggling for the basic number of clients, like to get to $250,000, $300,000. That's not where you should be playing. So next we're going to be talking about Gaskell's. And let me tell you this, and I'm going to say it from the beginning just to set the stage so you understand, and I want to make a point of how important and transformational this very simple strategy that I'm going to teach you next is going to be and has the potential to be, obviously, if you embrace it and you do it and implement it together, consistently, sorry. I've already told you that we run different workshops throughout the year. One of those workshops is one that is called the Sales Laboratory Experience. This is three days where we bring several law firms. The last one, I think there were 26 or 27 law firms. And we put them in a room and it requires $0 to implement. So this strategy that we're going to teach you is the same one that we implement with our members at the Sales Laboratory Experience, which our members pay $7,000 to attend. And it costs you, it will cost you, obviously, if you attend the workshop, it will cost you the workshop, but to implement this strategy costs you $0 and requires zero fancy technology. What it requires, it's a telephone. That's all that is required and a list of your clients. So if you can use a telephone and you have a list of previous clients, you can make this work. Now, before I teach you the strategy, I will also tell you that we do workshops, the Sales Lab Experience. We do a workshop around this strategy. 3 days, and the last time that we had this workshop, we had around 26 law firms in the room, and they created a little bit over $1 million of brand new fresh money coming into their law firms in 3 days. And when I say $1 million of brand money, it's obviously between all of them, but it's not money that is going to be collected in the future, or the clients are going to sign the agreement in the future, give them the credit card in the future. No, no, no. It's actually money that has been paid for and money that has been with a signed agreement and a credit card deposit and so on and so forth, just in 3 days. 26 firms, around $1 million of fresh brand new revenue in 3 days. Very, very important. Now, they also set up around $2 million of worth of appointments. So future appointments, right? People that they called, then they say, hey, this is attorney such and such. I want to talk to you about this. And then the client or the previous client said, well, yes, I would love to talk to you, but not now. Right now, and in the middle of feeding my kids or in the doctor or whatever, I cannot talk to you right now. And then the lawyer said, the business owner said, okay, can we talk next week at this time? So set appointments for around $2 million. What we did in order to achieve this number, or to estimate this number of $2 million, is calculated the average conversion rate that each one of those firms had. So we did not assume that everybody would convert at 100%. So if this firm, for example, had an average case value of $10,000, and normally they converted their PNCs, potential new clients, PNCs at 50%, and they had 20 appointments, then we would say, okay, 20 appointments by 50%, that would be around 10 new clients for $5,000, that would be around $50,000. That's how we did it. And we did the calculation, and they booked around $2 million worth of appointments, okay? Then also, they were able to give out about 100 referrals. So they were able to, because sometimes you call a person or a previous client and you say, hey, you know, this is attorney such and such and such. I'm wondering, how are you doing? Last time we spoke, we were handling this and this and that. In that conversation, it came up that the previous client needed something that the law firm did not offer. However, maybe they needed an architect, or they maybe needed to talk to an immigration lawyer, or maybe they need to talk to a state planning attorney or whatever, right? Those are or a realtor, a roofer, a contractor, you name it. So they were able, the lawyers in the room, they were able to give out all kinds of referrals. And you know what those referrals are going to be if they are going to be managed properly? They are going to pay off in the long term for you. Why? Because you are going to give a referral to John Smith. And now John Smith is going to know that you are an important person for him or her or her business, his business, because that we are thinking about them. And guess what's going to happen? It's going to create reciprocity. John Smith is now going to be thinking about you and your business, because they will know that you give a shit about them. And if you want to create generosity, and you begin with the generosity loop, that's what I call the generosity loop. You begin with the generosity loop, You give value to other people. The other people recognize the value and then they give it back to you in value. And that creates a generosity loop and everybody wins. So Gaskells, right? This is what we do at the Sales Laboratory Experience. We charge them literally, I promise you, and everybody knows, $7,000 for them to come 3 days to do exactly what I'm going to tell you right now. However, few people have the discipline to actually take out 3 days or 2 days, even 1 day of their time, block their agenda and commit, but then do it, that day they're going to do nothing but gas calls. So I just gave you the magic pill. Take out your calendar and decide when during the next 5 days or 7 days, are you going to block at least a day? If you cannot do 1 day, at least 4 to 5 hours to do nothing but gas calls. You're not going to open your damn email. You're not going to do legal work. You're not going to solve your receptionist issues or do nothing but do gas calls. So this is what I want you to do. I want you to think about a client that you worked for maybe a year ago or 2 years ago or whatever the time frame is. And you're going to think about the money that that person gave you. What did you do with that money? What did you do with that money that you made from that case? Think about the case, something you did a year ago or 2 years ago. And think about the amount of money that you got from that one case. And then think, what did you do with that money? Now, I imagine that if you have children, if you have a family, you use some of that money to feed your family. Maybe you took your family out for dinner. Maybe you use some of that money to buy your spouse or your significant other a gift. Maybe you use the money to buy your spouse or significant other something. Maybe you use that money to pay for a vacation. Maybe you use that money to buy a new car, whatever it is. So you can feel gratitude for that person that gave you that money, even if that person is not related to you, right? They don't owe you anything. They responded to your marketing with hope, with optimism, with commitment. They were open to the possibility of you helping them in their case. They trusted you. So I want you to engage or implement this strategy from that place, knowing one, that you can help people, knowing that people can trust you, and knowing that if you keep an open mind and about them, they will keep an open mind about the possibility that you and your law firm may be able to help them have a better life. So, good. So one of the things that I'm going to ask you is to give a shit about those people. Can you give a shit? Can you care? Can you give a damn about those human beings? Not about their cases, not about the money, but about the human being. Picture that person in your mind. Maybe you already forgot about what you use the money for, the money that they gave you, what you may use the money for. It doesn't really matter, right? But maybe when you look at the vacation you took or the car you bought or whatever, you can feel appreciation for that person that allow you to do that. So this strategy requires one thing, and that is that you want to help people. You don't stop caring about your clients, past clients, just because their case or their matter has come to a conclusion. You still care about people, about the person itself. So I would say it's kind of a decent thing to do, to demonstrate that you still give a shit about them. It is ethical, it is professional, it is considerate, and I guarantee you that is very profitable to give a shit about people who have demonstrated that you, that they care for you and they trust you and et cetera. Okay. So this is what the, this is the basic script. Okay. And by the way, this basic script, you also have it in your workbook for this week. Hello, my name is, right? XYZ. Hi, this is Erica Franci from How to Manage a Small Law Firm. Is this Adam? Hey, Adam, I know that you visited my office 12 months ago, 15 months ago, 8 months ago, whatever the time frame is. Obviously, the time frame will change depending on the person that you're reaching. Okay. So it's been about blank, 6 months, 9 months, 12 months, 17 months, whatever it is, since we finished your case. Let's say that it's 12 months. I'm going to use the 12-month mark as an example, but it can be anything. Please listen to me, because most people and lawyers specifically want to follow scripts. So the 12 months is just a number, okay? It can be 6 months, it can be 8 months, it can be 17 months, it can be 2.5 years, okay? It's been around 12 months since you visited my firm. It's been around 12 months since we finished your case. And usually I would like to follow up with my former clients at around the 12-month mark to review with them some of the things that we find that typically happens with our clients. So this is what you need to think. What is that your client normally experiences around 6 months, 12 months after the case was resolved, about a year after the case was resolved, 18 months, whatever the time frame it is. So think about what happens in their lives, you know, at around the whatever number of months mark is that you're calling. So hi, this is Erica Franci from How to Manage a Small Law Firm. It's been around 12 months since we finished your case, and I normally like to follow up with my former clients at around the 12-month mark, because I know that there are some things that typically happen with our clients at around that time frame. Is this a good time to talk to you for around 20 minutes? That's it. That's how you open up the conversation. If they say yes, in which case you continue the conversation. If they say no, then say you're going to say, okay, no problem. When would you have 20 minutes to talk about your case? Would Tuesday at 3 p.m. work? So you are going to suggest a time. When would you have 20 minutes in order for us to talk about your case and what is going on in your life? Would Tuesday at 3 p.m. work? If they say no. But for now, let's assume, obviously, if they say yes, Tuesday at 3 p.m. works, well, you set an appointment for you to talk to them and you will call them then. If they say no, not Tuesday, but Wednesday at 11 a.m., you say, okay, perfect. You check your agenda. If you're available, you then set your appointment for Wednesday at 1. So you basically negotiate with them whatever time works for you and for them. Okay? But for now, let's assume that they say yes. Let me check my dashboard here. Okay, good. Let's assume that they say yes. In that case, you are pretty much going to go into saying, well, you know, what we find is that typically around 12 months or around 9 months or around whatever time frame it is, we find that some of our clients around this point, they normally experience X, Y, and Z. They normally experience X, Y, and Z. Maybe you can say things like, our clients got remarried. Our clients get a new house. Our clients get new careers. Our clients finish school. Our clients start a new business. Obviously, you don't say all of these things, right? You say one or two things. Or our clients are getting remarried, or they're having babies, or whatever is that normally happens to your clients around that time frame. And you say, and I would like to talk to you about any changes that might be going on in your life right now. what might be going in your business right now, or in your life right now, or in your relationship right now. So to see if I can help you, magic word, right? Generosity, to see if we can help you, or I can help you, or the, or our business or my law firm can help you navigate your way through that unfamiliar territory. Most likely they find themselves in an on an unfamiliar territory where for them is the very first time that they experience this. And for you, you've seen this and clients experience this for, I don't know, 100 times, 200 times, 300 times, depending on how many clients you've had. I know, this is the next part of the script, that many of our clients call us and ask us at more or less this around, this time frame for X. Maybe they ask us for a referral. Maybe they ask us for an insurance agent. Maybe they ask us to redo their will. Maybe they ask us to fund their trust. Maybe they ask us to file for custody. Maybe they, you know what I mean? So you tell them normally what is happening at that time frame. What you're doing is that you are explaining to them the kinds of changes that you're talking about and explaining to them the kinds of referrals or services that sometimes people ask you for. And that can help them trigger their memory as to, oh my God, yes, absolutely, that is happening to me. Could you actually help me with that? And then you strike a conversation, right? If nothing of that works, then you can say something like, well, tell me about some of the changes that you have experienced or issues that you've experienced with your ex over the last 2 years or last 12 months. Or are there any changes that have happened with your business, with your kids in the last 12 months? Or are there any changes that are happening with your blank, blank, blank over the last 12 months? If they say nothing, just know that that is not true. You need to stay on it. You need to keep on probing and asking questions, because everybody experiences different things over, you know, obviously if it's been a month, most likely no, but if it's been a year, 2 years, 18 months, 15 months, whatever, things change. Maybe you can also say something like, we also find sometimes that some of our clients are struggling with things in their life, like maybe they lose their jobs, maybe they're going through divorce, maybe they are struggling with sobriety, maybe they are dealing with their ex-spouse on X, Y, and Z, maybe they're still dealing with the stress of the bankruptcy, whatever. Very, very important. Whatever your clients are struggling with does not need to be legal. Doesn't have to be related to your legal services. You tell them whatever you're struggling with doesn't have to be related to your legal services. We still want to help you with it. And then, very important, you look for ways to help them with exactly that. It is just that simple. It's not complicated. It's a very simple conversation. And you are just calling because you genuinely give a damn about the other person. Now, hopefully, if you're a person, if you do personal injury, criminal defense, bankruptcy, divorce, maybe hopefully this person do not need your services again, right? You are kind of hoping that they don't need your services again. But maybe they do, right? Maybe they are getting a divorce again. Maybe they have an accident again. I mean, things continue to happen in people's lives. And you're calling them because you're genuinely caring about them. And you tell them, you know, we have handled hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of divorces. We have handled hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of accidents and personal injury cases. We handle every sort of issues with immigration that you can think about. And we know exactly what happens to a person at around the 6 month mark, a year mark, whatever. We've handled 100 of bankruptcy, etc. You know what comes next. Tell them, tell your previous client, we know what comes next. You don't, let me help you. This is a genuine service that you're providing for your previous clients. You can tell them, this is a genuine service that we're providing for our four former clients to help them by letting them know the things that normally happen. You let them know that they are not alone, that they are not the only person in the world who has gone through a case or a matter like this, or experience these types of challenges or problems or opportunities or issues. And you let them know that you, your law firm, your business are still a resource for helping them navigate their way through unfamiliar territory. Now, I suggest that you do all of this sincerely hoping that they don't need your services again, but also knowing that if they do, you're there to help them. Your business is focused on helping people to solve problems with their lives. No matter what you do, even if you do real estate closings, maybe they are buying new real estate because that, you know what, is a generally a positive thing. Maybe you do adoption law and who knows, maybe they're thinking about adopting another child. That's a positive thing. Maybe you do intellectual property. Maybe you're hoping that they have a new idea for a new pattern or a new business or something, a new book, a new something. That is positive. So it's not really that you're calling just to find business for yourself. You're calling because you genuinely care about these people and about what is going on with them. So what is in it for you? How do you need to approach this conversation? Nothing. You need to approach this conversation from a genuine place of giving. Now, if in the process you find that you can help them with X or Y and Z, that is a good thing. If you find that they don't need your services again, but you might give them a referral for X or Y and Z, that is a good thing, okay? Because even if you give them a referral to another professional, number one, that other professional is gonna give you back business. And number two, this person that you just helped, I gotta tell you, will forever remember that you gave a damn about them and you called just to help them. So that is gas calls. Let me look here at my notes. It is very simple as locking out the time. Right now, I suggest that you pull out your calendar and you decide when are you going to do these gas calls. Take a list of your former clients, right? You want to have their names, their email addresses, name and last name, then the email addresses, what was their type of case, when was it resolved, around how many months or years ago did it happen, and what was the result, like what happened, right? And with that information, you just start smiling and dialing. We also call this smile and dial. You smile, be grateful, and do it with graciousness, and you dial the phone to help them. I promise you that you're going to get business out of this. You're going to get referrals and people are going to have you as top of mind. Okay. So do not be scared about bothering people. If you come through and you come from a genuine place of giving and a genuine desire to help them, you are not going to be bothering them. Okay? Very, very important. One more thing. You alone, you are the only lawyer on the entire planet who is probably allowed to pick up the phone and just call your former clients, unless they have a relationship with some other lawyer for some other matter, or they hired some other lawyer for whatever thing. That's fine. Maybe that's them, but hopefully, you know, most people will only need one lawyer in their lifetimes. Anyhow, you're the only lawyer that can call them and have a conversation with them. And that gives you a competitive advantage. And you do that. Others can't do that because they are prohibited by the bar rules, right? But you can actually call them. So please, you are sitting on an enormous opportunity that you would be really, really foolish. And I mean that sincerely. I don't mean that to be mean or to be, you know, an ass or a bitch. I'm not calling you foolish. I'm calling you that if you do that, that behavior, if you miss this opportunity, the behavior would be foolish. The behavior would be foolish. You are sitting literally on a golden opportunity, and please do what we're teaching you to do. If you just pick up the phone and call your former clients, like we do what we preach, we pick up the phone and we call our former members just to give a damn about how they are doing. Sometimes we send out invitations, you know, on the mail or by email, just to set up appointments with Arjun or with our members progress person or with our salesperson, just to give them the opportunity to set up a call and figure out how they are doing and what can we help them with. Okay, so next I am going to talk to you about sales. But before I go to sales, I am going to ask you to please raise your hand. And I would like to spend 10 or 15 minutes on doing Q&A about anything that has to do with sales calls or anything that has to do with your magic statement or anything that has to do with the creation of your gross profits, net profits, etc., from your personal goals and obviously arriving to your marketing, the number of leads that your business needs to create. So I'm going to give you like 2 minutes. I'm going to put you in mute for like 2 minutes. So you think about your question, press *6 right now, and I will take questions right now for around 10 to 15 minutes before we go into the sales piece. Okay, go ahead. I'm going to give you a minute and a half to 2 minutes to think about it. And I'll say taking questions in 2 minutes. And if somebody can remind me to start the recording in 2 minutes, that would be great.
Your telephone keypad, and we will be back in a second.
Okay. I see 3 people already, 4 people already raised their hands. So please, let's get started with Q&A and raise your hand. *9, I think that James said. If not, *6 will also, I believe that will also raise your hand. Okay, let's start with the first person with the last 3 digits, 099. You're unmuted on my end.
Yes, I have a quick question.
Yeah, you know, hold on.
Definitely understand.
Name, you can use your first name.
Jay, if you want to. Yeah, Jay. And so I understand the whole point about calling folks, former clients, and, you know, trying to drum up business. I guess my question is with sort of my practice area, employment particularly, what are you seeing other attorneys in how to manage do that have, you know, in terms of the employment space, what are you, you know, obviously discrimination cases, et cetera. I mean, what are they calling the clients and asking them? I mean, just kind of an awkward conversation. Typically, my clients are sort of one and done. I guess we can call it like that, unless it's, for instance, a professional. But can you give me some examples of what you're seeing employment lawyers call former clients and asking them about in terms of work to do, I guess?
Yes. Okay. So, weird. Jay, let me just first, yes, I can answer your question and I promise I will. But let's stop thinking about what other people do because everybody has different kinds of clients. Now, the issues that they might be dealing with might be similar, but it's different. So let's focus on your particular situation. If you think about, let's say during 2019, more or less, how many cases did you handle? Did you open?
50
cases. Okay. And out of those 50 cases, which one would be like your ideal case because of the type of person that you helped or the type of matter that it was, the amount of money that you were able to charge, et cetera?
Ideal case for on the employment space would be more of a severance agreement enhancement, where we try to enhance the severance and, you know, leverage potential claim against it.
Okay. And what happened? How did this particular case resolved? Was it a man or a woman?
Well, I mean, I've had men and women. But
that particular case that you're thinking about.
Alleged sexual harassment, and obviously the company paid out, increased the severance pretty significantly. So that's the case I'm thinking about.
Was this a woman?
Yes, a woman, yeah.
Okay. Let's call her first name. Choose whatever first name. I don't care.
Jessica.
Jessica. Okay. So Jessica came to you because she had an issue with sexual harassment at work, and you were able to significantly increase the severance payment that she got. And then,
yes.
You increased the amount of money that she got from what were they offering to her? And then what did she get at the end?
Like they were offering like 3 months and we got it up to a year.
3 months. Okay, good. Okay. And then, so for example, in this case, you would call Jessica and say, hey, hi, this is Jay, whatever your last name is. I'm calling from such and such firm. You retained us around whatever, 6 months ago, 8 months ago, whatever. We understand that you got this year long severance. And I am wondering, what has happened to your life? What has happened to your employment situation since then? You know, normally, you know, we see that, you know, within 3 to 4 months that we finish the cases, or 6 months to finish the cases, whatever time frame you want to say, you know, our clients are dealing with finding a new job. Or maybe we find that these people are already in a new position and they might be struggling with X, Y, and Z. Whatever you want, and you ask them. If you don't know, right, you ask them. This is going to be also fantastic marketing exercise for you, because now you're not only focused on what happened when they came to you for this situation, but you are going to start getting information about what happens in their lives 6 months after, 12 months after, 18 months after, whatever the time frame is. And if you sincerely don't know, then you can ask them and you will start to find some similarity. So you can say, what has happened with your life? What have you gotten a new job? Are you happy with the new job? Are you even wanting to have a new job? How are your kids? How is your husband? Whatever, you know? And then you start asking questions, you know, those empowering questions, open-ended questions like, what is happening in your life that maybe we can support you with? It doesn't have to be that it's anything related to what happened in your previous employment. Maybe it doesn't even have to do with legal services. Is there anything that is happening in your life right now that you need help with? And then you come at it from that perspective. It's about being open about the conversation and have curiosity. Do not assume that you know what's going on. You can't obviously tell them, you know, normally our clients experience this or that, but maybe that's not their case. So you can come out at it from a place of curiosity. The important thing is that you make a connection with a human being, that you care about the human being. And you know what? Some people, not all of them, but some people are going to say, there's really nothing going on. I'm really good. I got a new job. My husband is also working. My kids are going to school. You know, I am just, for example, you know, my kid is, maybe you can ask, your kid does any kind of extracurricular activities? Yes, you know, he does soccer. And right now I'm thinking about, I don't know, changing him or finding a personal trainer for him, whatever. So you can start poking around. And if you have some referrals about, if you're working on, there's another thing that we teach in the program that is called your Team 100, which is that you, from all the professionals that you are getting to know or meeting in your networking events, you start collecting like their business cards, their contact information, people that you know that you can most likely trust and send clients to. And you say, oh, you know what? Listen, I know X, Y, and Z. He is a soccer professor. Let me make an introduction. I personally have never worked with him, but I am sure that he can help you with what you're looking for. So, and then you take the time to make a personal introduction by email, by phone, whatever you want, but you take the time not to just give, what did we say, Jessica, not to tell Jessica, oh, here's the name, call him. No, it's like, you know what, Jessica, tomorrow morning or this afternoon, I'm going to make a personal introduction to you. So you call the soccer person and you say, hey, Jim, you know, Jessica, my client, this is what happened. This is what she's looking for. And I thought about you. Is this something that you can help her with? Yes, I can help her with. Okay, please take good care of her. She's a valued member, a client of mine, etc. So you take the time to make that introduction. And one of the things that you want to do is, let's say a month later, I don't know, depending on what the introduction is for, we'll say a couple of weeks later, a month later, you follow up with Jessica. Hey, Jessica, what was your experience with Randy, right? How did it go? Was everything okay? And you maintain that connection with that individual. And that's how you start getting more business and more business and more referrals and more referrals. Does that make sense, Jay?
Yeah. And I guess it's a shift. Because I'm thinking the purpose of the call, I mean, ultimately the purpose is to eventually get business, but this is really, the purpose of these calls is really to reaffirm the relationship, to stay front of mind, and to sort of be the go-to person for the former client, and to sort of get them thinking about you and referring to you, and you also providing them with sort of your resources, so that if something does come up potentially down the road, or if they have something now, you know, I was thinking the purpose of the call is like, I'm trying to sell something right then and there, but no. It's more of, I guess, a long-term sell.
No.
Is that pretty much it?
This is the magic. Hold on a second. This is the magic in this. The way in which I am enticing you guys, not only you, but all of you, to make the calls is because, and in this case, I'm asking you to trust us, right? That this will create business for you. So yes, at the end of the day, this will create business for you. And this is one of the ways in which you do it. However, the purpose of the call when you're actually making the call cannot be, should not be to get business or to get paid. The purpose of the call needs to be to literally see how is that you can add value to another human being. And when you do that, and when you ask those questions and you operate from that place, then you will automatically receive more business. Will all of them turn into more business for you? No. Some of them are going to be just a referral to someone else. But you know what? That referral will turn into more business from that professional. And from that person, I guarantee you, in the future. So you stay top of mind with them. But you cannot initiate the strategy by saying, what can I sell in that moment? No. If you do that, it's going to fail. You can't do that.
Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome. Okay. Talk to you soon.
Yep.
Good. Let me mute this. Okay. Let's go with the second person, last three digits, 551. You are unmuted.
Hey, Erica, it's Eileen. How are you?
Hi, Eileen. Good afternoon. I'm doing good. And you?
I'm good. Thank you.
Awesome.
So I am good, but I'm just overwhelmed. And I guess what I'm wondering about is when I have no, I'm totally fine with, you know, facing my fears, and I'm 100% and I have big goals and I want to grow my firm. But it just, like, does the overwhelm ever end, in the sense that you feel like you have some semblance of, I don't want to say control, but a life? Like, these gas calls, I think they're a fabulous idea and I would love to do them, but I have no capacity right now for more. I mean, I have, like, marketing things that I do. They work great. Everything is running really, you know, I'm getting clients. That's not the issue, but like, I would love to do these gas calls and get even more clients, but then of course I need more help. And it's just like, everything just feels like they're spinning, it's spinning out of control. Like, when does that all kind of feel a little bit better, I guess?
Okay. So I'm going to answer your question from two different perspectives. Number one is the overwhelm piece. One of the things that you want to know and be reminded of is that overwhelm happens in your mind. The reason why you're overwhelmed is not because you have a lot of things to do, because we all do. And I'm not saying that maybe you don't have a little bit more than me or a little bit more than John or a little bit more than Sally, right? But we are all very, very busy, especially when you're an entrepreneur, right? You're exactly on that edge of, I don't know if you've taken the time to see our stages of growth on our business, on the businesses that we manage, right? If you have gone to the website for how to manage, if not, please go. The switch between stage one, which is the create level, which is where you're basically doing everything and everything yourself, to the upgrade level, which is when you start to leverage through hiring other people and getting help and all of that, is around $250,000 to $300,000, which is where you are right now. So you are in that very difficult moment in which you're already, your marketing and your sales are working at a level which create more business for you, but you're stuck because you haven't made that change into getting more help for your business. So you're still trying to do more with the same resources. So going back to all of this, number one, know that you are not the only one who feels like that. What you're going through is really, really normal. Now, the moment that you make the next hire, the moment that you bring in the resources necessary to leverage your time, you will be able to breathe. Now, most likely, you are not making those hires, most likely because of fear of the financial responsibility, et cetera, or maybe you haven't found the people. So the busyness, the having a lot of things to do at the same time is a fact of business, especially when you're an entrepreneur and you're in that moment from that you're about to change of stage of growth. The overwhelm is happening in your mind because you're still not mentally fit enough. And I'm not saying that you're not smart. Of course, I know you're smart. It's about grit. It's about persistence. It's about your ability to handle more. And stay focused even when life grants you more opportunities, more business. You need to grow your mindset. You need to manage how you think and learn to think like a high performer. There is a book that I'm going to recommend to you to listen to.
Okay.
Hold on a second. This book is called The Compound Effect. The Compound Effect by... Darren Hardy, D-A-R-R-E-N Hardy. So you need to learn to think like a high performer, in which you learn to prioritize things. You will never have enough time to do everything. And if you're trying to do everything, you will always find and end up overwhelmed. You need to prioritize your actions. So I'm going to give you two or three strategies really, really fast. One is you need, I hope that you are not keeping all of your to-dos in your mind. You need
list. I'm very,
you need a list, whether it's a piece of paper or your computer, whatever. Every night, every night before you leave the office, the last 30 minutes or 15 minutes, because it really doesn't take more than this, you're going to sit down and you're going to look at all your lists and you're going to ask yourself one simple question. What do I need to get done tomorrow morning? First thing, what are the one or two things that need to get done tomorrow to grow my business? Not to complete tasks, not to whatever, to grow my business. And you decide, your circle, you highlight whatever you want, those two things the night before. Then the next day, when you wake up, you do not check email you do not go into BC mode. The first hour of your day is dedicated to move those two things and only those two things along. That's it. And yeah. Then after that, you prioritize the rest. But if you don't create that space in your mind to sit down and prioritize the night before, what happens is that next morning, your mind is so overwhelmed that what you will naturally do is sit down and try to clean your inbox. Because that allows you to have, you know, short wins and makes you feel good about yourself, but then you didn't do crap. You didn't accomplish anything. Right. Okay. Right. So if for those two things you require to write an email or read an email for whatever reason, open your email, but sort it out by sender or recipient, right? By sender. Mm-hmm. And you only look for that particular person that you either need to receive an email from on, or send an email to. And when you're done, you close that damn thing. Like the email is like the monster, right? It's everyone's priorities except yours. So what you need to do is to learn to manage your mind and learn to hold more things. That is why overwhelm is happening to you right now. Does it make sense?
Yep.
What are you thinking when I say all these things? What are you thinking?
Well, that's a good strategy about, you know, picking a, I'm very much of a list oriented person, but my list, and I do make a list for the next morning, but they tend to be focused on, you know, getting the next thing off the list, getting the work out the door thing off the list. And then of course I keep trying to get to those, I get interrupted, and then I never get to the things that are going to move the needle in my firm. And what I desperately need is to hire an exact, I need a right-hand person. I have some staff, but there, it's a choppy bit of group of people, part-time here, part-time there, virtual assistant. I need a right-hand person. I'm at that point. I need one. I feel like I do.
Yeah.
So, but my fear is, this is what's holding me back. And I don't want to take up other people's time, but, and hopefully I can work through this as an HTM member. But what's holding me back is, when I look at my list of things to do, the bottleneck seems to be me, because this list is all legal tasks and I'm not at the stage where I can hire another attorney, you know? So who is going to do these legal tasks? It's still me, unless I can, you know, and I'm trying to get everything else off my desk, but I hire people and then I have to manage them, you know, then they're coming at me and they're like, well, what about this? Well, I mean, somebody asked me this legal question and they need an answer. Yeah, so that's where my overwhelm comes in, I guess.
Okay, so let me just say a few things and two things that I also want you to listen. Number one, you're not taking anyone's time, because I promise you that there's another 2, 3, 5, or 10, or 20 people on the line suffering from the same thing you did. So the fact that you ask a question means that other people are struggling with the same thing. So you're not taking anyone's time. Mm-hmm. Number two, I am going to challenge a little bit your assumption that you cannot hire someone else. I promise you 98%, not 100, but 98% of the people that we work with, they tell us that they don't have the money to hire somebody. I promise you. However, can you work on this thing when you become a member? Absolutely, you can, and we will. But this is how you need to think about it. Let's say that if you truly, and I'm, this is where I'm taking your word for it, because your word is the only information I have, right? So if you truly look at all your tasks, and what is holding you back is all legal production, then you need to hire somebody that can do legal production for you. Now, you, I remember that you do estate planning, I think, right?
Yeah, elder law and estate planning. Yep.
Elder law. Yeah. Okay. So most likely, in most cases, I'll, again, I'm generalizing because we will have to do more analysis with you. But in most cases, most likely what you need is a really good paralegal, a really, really good paralegal that you can hire full time. And you will only require to be able to have money in the bank to pay this person for the first month. After the first month, with what we're going to teach you, this person becomes profitable for you. It actually becomes profitable after 2 weeks, but let's say 1 month, let's exaggerate. After 1 month, this is actually producing you money, not costing you money. So That is what I want you to think about. You absolutely need a person that can liberate you from the legal production. Because if you don't, you will be stuck in this place forever. Make sense?
I know. That's what it feels like. Yep.
Mm-hmm. And then you tell me I am not at a position where I can hire another attorney or I can hire legal help. And that's absolutely what you need to do. The only thing is that you need to help us strategize how to go about doing it. But most likely that's exactly what you need to do.
Yeah. I mean, I can pay for a paralegal. It's just, you know, then I stop myself at, well, do I need one that's really more Medicaid oriented or probate oriented? Or can I find the unicorn that can do both? Or should I chop it up and get a couple of VAs? And it's something I just need to really sit down and.
I'm glad that you mentioned that, because as you were talking, I wanted to say this and I had forgotten. Mm-hmm. To manage a part-time, not attorney, a part-time person, a part-time employee is three times harder than manage a full-time person. Listen to this. It's three times harder. Because they don't give you 100% of their attention. They don't give you 100% of their time. The commitment is different. Their level, how they show up is different. So it'll take you at least double the effort to manage a part-time person than a full-time person. So should you be looking for the unicorn? No, you should not. What I would recommend is look at your cases. And there must be one or two types of cases that you have more work, more type of cases that you have more work from. You can begin with that. Stop trying to find the unicorn and say, well, for example, let's say the probate is 40% or 45% of your practice and the rest are 15%, 12%, whatever. You can start with probate or start by those types of cases that take most time from you. So maybe there's, you know, maybe there is this type of case that requires 20 hours from you. And maybe you don't have the whole, that's not the largest amount of number of cases you have, but it's the case that requires the most amount of time from you. Start by prioritizing you getting support and help on those type of cases, because what we need to do urgently is liberate you from the amount of tasks that you need to do on legal production, so you can actually focus on running the business. The highest and best use of your time is always going to be marketing and sales and management of your people. Mm-hmm. Eventually, we're gonna get you to a place where you're doing nothing but that, if you want to. Some people get a little bit plugged into production. That's where we're going. Yeah. But for now, if all you do is produce legal work, you can't grow the business.
That's where I feel I am. And I'm like, how do I get out of this? I just haven't been able to, I got to break out of it. Yeah. Yes, it's killing me and my daughter.
Okay. But for now, can you please make that analysis? Yeah. And when you come to, I know you're coming to the LQM, to the live business bootcamp. So when you come, please bring that analysis. Which one of your cases? So if you look at all the, let's say that you usually do three, four types of cases, type A, B, C, and D. Out of those, what percentage of your practice comes from each one of them? Let's say A, 10%, B, 50%, C, 20%, et cetera. And number two, which one of those four types of cases require most from your time? And with that information, we will help you at the Business Bootcamp Live, and we will strategize how to move forward.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Erica. I really appreciate it. See
you
this weekend.
Yes, I'll see you on Friday.
Yep. Okay, bye.
Okay, bye. Okay, so next person, Tom. I think that should be your name. Tom, you are unmuted on my end, but I think you need to unmute yourself on your end. Oh, I lost you. Tom, what happened? Oh, there he is. Tom, I cannot hear you. I think you're muted on your end. It just says Tom guest. Tom, can you hear me? I cannot hear you. Can you try unmuting your phone? Okay. I can't hear you, Tom. Okay, I am not going to lower your hand. So if you can figure out how to unmute yourself, then we can have a conversation. For now, I'm going to keep on going with the sales lesson, and then we can come back to you. If you can, if you need to, you can drop off and hop back in, so I can unmute you. I promise you, I'm trying to unmute you, but I think it's you're muted on your end. Okay, we'll start with you as soon as we come back to the Q&A, Tom. Okay, so let me go back to my notes. I think it's this. Yes, sales. Okay, so we have been talking about marketing. We have been talking about gas calls. We have been talking about financials. We have been talking about leads. We have been talking about all these things. And now we're going to talk about sales. Sales is not rocket science. It's very, very simple. Very, very simple. But people complicate the process because how they feel about sales. But feeling intimidated about sales and feeling confused about sales does not make it confusing and doesn't make it intimidating, right? Why is that sales is so confusing and intimidating for people? Because nobody, most of us, have never been trained formally on how to actually conduct a sales conversation. Most of us were never, ever had anybody sit us down and say, this is how you do sell anything. And most importantly, how you do sell things on an ethical, professional, and profitable way. So one of the things that I would like to invite you to know and hear from me is that we're going to teach you to sell whatever you want to sell, because it doesn't matter what you're selling. The process is exactly the same, but sell with honesty, with integrity, and on an ethical manner and a professional manner. So fortunately for you, we were very fortunate, you know, Arjun was very fortunate. I was very fortunate to have been formally trained on how to do sales. I know that Arjun did the same than me, but we spent over $150,000 more or less. I'm not exaggerating you. It's a true statement and true number. At least $150,000 learning how to be an effective salesperson. And the thing is that what most of you don't know is how to do it, unless you have ever been trained to do it. And if you have never been trained to do it, then this is unfamiliar to you. So is it going to be scary? Yes, it's going to be scary. Is it going to be uncomfortable? Absolutely, it's going to be uncomfortable. But once you get some practice at it, it'll be less confusing, it'll be less scary, and it will be less intimidating. So how to do sales is very, very simple. Sales is a human element. Sales is part of human nature. And we all, in a way, are born by learning how to sell. Sell is the ability to influence other people in the direction of a behavior. It's your ability to influence other people in the direction of a specific behavior. That's it. To your benefit and to your advantage, all human beings are looking for a way to make their lives better, pure and simple. Everybody's looking for a way to make their lives better, more money, more happy, more love, more health, etc. Now, some people are confused about what is going to make their lives better and what it will take to make those lives better, and are not really sure about what is going on right now that is not making their lives better, right? Now, they think that making their life better, if they do X, their life is going to be better. But maybe they are wrong. So for example, you know, the person that decides to start using drugs, maybe they think that when they do drugs, their life is going to be better because they're going to feel more at ease, or they're going to feel happier, or they are going to have something. Again, going back to that immediate gratification, an immediate sense of feeling good or well that most people are looking for. So they start using drugs. And what happens is that they get all things mixed up in their head. They get hooked into something, and they believe that that is actually going to help them in a good way, but it's not. So some people do self-destructive things, and some people do stupid things. People do reckless things, but they are not doing those things to intentionally make their lives worse. They are doing those things because there is a certain part of them that is wrongly focused on the immediate gratification, but there's a certain part of them that is thinking that that is going to make their lives better. They're making or doing those things with the intention and the expectation that that thing, that action is going to make their life better. Now, they might be wrong. They may have it mixed up. They might be confused. But even people who set out to hurt themselves, maybe people who set out to hurt others, they still think that that is going to make them feel better. Maybe some people do that because they have learned to play the role of victims, for example. And listen, this whole lesson, I gotta tell you, when I told you guys that Arjun and I have spent over $150,000 learning to do sales, obviously that didn't happen in 45 minutes or 1 hour, or even 1 month, or even 1 year, right? It's a process. So there's a lot of psychology behind sales. And I'm not going to go into that because that could take us the whole rest of the afternoon and we could spend days. But in fact, we do have inside of How to Manage. Let me just drink some water. Let me check if I restarted the recording. Hold on. Oh, yes. Okay, good. We do have inside of How to Manage very high level, high and advanced sales training workshops in which we get into all the psychology behind the sales. So for now, it's more than enough for you to understand that people are just looking for ways to make their lives a little bit better, period. And most people have never had anyone that cared enough or had enough of a skill set to help them think through their current situation and completely think it through so they can decide what is the best decision for them and how is that they are going to go about achieving those goals that they have. I'm going to say that again. Most people have never found themselves with a really good salesperson in front of them that has cared enough about them to help them think through their situation and think through how is that they're going to achieve what they want to achieve for many reasons. Number one, most salespeople are not really great. And number two, maybe they don't have the time. Number three, maybe just don't care. So this is one thing that I want you to write down right now. Sales is not about selling something. Sales is not about helping people buy. Sales is about helping people make a decision. We are not going to be invested into whether the person says yes or says no. We are not going to be attached. That's the word. That's the right word. We're not going to be attached to them say yes or no. What we're going to be invested on is for us to facilitate the conversation so the person can make an aware and conscious choice. And if the choice is no, once they are aware of the consequences of their choices, not only in the short-term situation, but in the long-term situation, then you know what? Fine. That's their decision. As long as that's the decision, is their lives, and they will have to be the ones that are dealing with the consequences. So be it. So write this down. Time, money, and reputation. That is what sales is all about. Helping people make informed conscious decisions about their time, money, and reputation. Informed conscious decisions about time, money, and reputation. Most people are thinking, when they're thinking about their lives, they are thinking in terms of their time. They are thinking about their life and the world around them in terms of their money, and they are thinking about the life and the world around them in terms of their reputation. So we're going to start the sales conversation by asking them, that's number one, that's the first piece of the sales conversation. We're going to start the sales conversation by asking them if they have enough time to have a meaningful conversation. This goes more or less around that. Thank you for coming to see me today. When we schedule this appointment, and this is obviously applicable also if you do the consultation over the phone. When we schedule these appointments, we schedule 30 minutes for having this conversation. Do 30 minutes still work for you? Thanks for coming. It seems like when we scheduled this appointment, you were struggling a little bit about the hours that would work for you. So now that you're here today, we scheduled this appointment for 90 minutes. That is the amount of time that we have this appointment booked for. Are you still okay and ready? And can you still spend 90 minutes in this appointment? So the first thing that we want to do is confirm the amount of time that still works with this for this person. If they don't have the time, if they are not in an environment in which they can be focused and they can be not distracted, you need to reschedule the conversation. Because if they can't have that focus, then you cannot help this person. If this appointment, whatever they schedule with you, no longer fits into their schedule, you need to know what happened. What is preventing them, or what is that is not going to work out for them? If you don't know what is happening in their lives, you are at a tremendous disadvantage when you're having a sales meeting with a potential new client. You may think that they're the most in problem. Maybe you're thinking that the most important problem in their life is their pending divorce. Well, the most important thing in their life is their pending bankruptcy or whatever you help them with. But then they show up in your office and you find out that the most urgent thing in their life is that their house just burned out yesterday. Or you find out that they're completely distracted because their kid just got admitted in the hospital. So if you don't have that context about what is going on in their lives, you cannot understand what frame of mind they are coming to see you in. So if my kid is in the hospital and he, God forbid, I'm going to touch wood. I'm going to use another example. If my house just burned down and I need to figure out where I'm going to sleep tonight, well, most likely I am not that concerned about my estate planning. I'm really not. So maybe I just came in because I want to respect your time and because I had the appointment, maybe you charged me for the consultation, but you know what? I am really in not an emotional position to make a decision to hire you for $5,000 or $10,000 or $4,000, whatever it is, because I am not freaking thinking about my estate planning. I am thinking about the fact that my house just burned down. Only a person that does not care about other person would not ask about what's going on for them. Okay, so first thing, does this appointment still fit in your schedule? We have scheduled for 30 minutes, 90 minutes, 45 minutes, whatever the time is. Are you still good for that? Yes, I'm still good for that. Okay, perfect. Let's proceed. Good. So don't be insensitive. Care about the fact of whatever is going on in the life of your business, in the life of your client. Okay, second thing you are going to do is you are going to reassure them that everything that you discuss will be kept confidential. So number one, you need to reaffirm the time and ask if they're still good for today, the time that we discuss. Number two, you need to reassure them that everything that you discuss will be kept confidential. Say something along the lines, hey, before we get started today, I just want to assure you that everything we talk about here today will be kept in strict confidentiality. With your permission, I am going to take notes so I can make sure that I understand what we're talking about. And I have something to refer back later when we decide and if we decide to work together. I want to get your permission for that. I also would like to offer you the opportunity that if you want me, I can record the meeting so I can give you a copy of this for your purposes. You don't need to worry so much about that. Depending on what kind of work you're doing, sometimes when we're working with some lawyers, we ask them to record some of their sales consultations so we can listen and we can give them feedback on how to improve them. But that is, I'm just putting it out there that you could record the conversation with the permission of the client. My notes and the recording will be kept strictly confidential. And here in your file will be these notes under lock and key, and we're good. If you don't want me to record it, I'm happy not to record this. May I have your permission right now? And that's perfect. This is where you're going to find like 80% of the time, they are not going to object to recording. And they are definitely not going to object for you to take notes. And they might go as much as being grateful for you to record the conversation because it's good for them. You can tell them, you know what, we're going to cover a lot of ground and, you know, you might not take detailed notes. I might not take that detailed notes. And I just don't want us to forget about a bunch of things that we're going to discuss. Anyhow. So you ask them if you can record the conversation or you can take notes. Then the next thing that you're going to do, so third thing, is that you are going to propose an agenda. So it's very, very important that you take leadership from the beginning. You are going to lead the conversation. Remember that sales is all about connection. It's all about understanding and about influence. And if the person in front of you does not believe and trust that through their association with you, they can get more of blank, more money, more business, more love, more happiness, more freedom, more this, more the other, they won't follow you. And people won't follow you if they don't trust you. So discuss an agenda, okay? We don't cram it down their throats. We propose an agenda. You can say something along the lines, hey, listen, since we only have about an hour here today and I respect your time, I want to make sure that we make the best use of our time together. May I propose an agenda? 99.9% of the times your prospective client is going to say yes. You have my permission to propose my agenda. They're going to be relieved when you propose an agenda because finally somebody has actually presented to them a plan and has enough experience to know how to do it and what to do. Sometimes, in very, very few cases, they are going to say, well, before you propose an agenda, I would like me to suggest that we do this or that. Or I would like to make sure that when you propose your agenda, we touch base on this, on that, that is very important for me. Okay, no big deal. Go along with it. Do not fight them. At least you know now what is important for them. And if it's important for them, you want to make sure that you follow and at least you touch on the points or you ask the questions that help you clarify what they want to talking about. So if they that's like 1% of the cases. If it happens, fine, go with it. If it doesn't happen, they say, yes, of course, go ahead and propose the agenda. You're going to say something like, you know, the agenda that I would like to propose is to, number one, I am going to gather some information about you. I want to make sure that I understand who you are as a person. I understand more about your situation. And I would like to ask you some questions about you. Then, based on what you share with me, I will be happy to answer any questions or whatever questions you have about our firm, about what we do. And I will be able to share the most relevant information about our firm, because I don't want to tell you a bunch of things about our firm that turned out to be completely irrelevant for you and waste your time. These will definitely save us time and save us abbreviation. Then I am going, once I know about your situation, what I'll do is then propose a solution. If I can, and I can identify the problem, then I will propose a solution, and we're going to two or three solutions, and then we can talk about the one that makes the more sense to you. And then hopefully you are going to be able to make a decision of whether or not we are going to move forward in you retaining our services in order to get the results that you're looking forward to. Does that sound like a good agenda for you? Again, 99.9 of the people say yes. So you're taking control of the conversation, you're proposing an agenda, you have a plan to go along with that agenda, and you're going to start learning about them. Then you can start gathering information. You got their first buy-in, or the second buy-in. The first buy-in was for saying that this is still a good time for them, that you will have their undivided attention, etc. Second one is you got them their buy-in about proposing the agenda. Then you told them that you're going to start asking questions about their situation or their business to understand it a little bit better. So that is what you are going to do next. You're going to start asking questions to start getting a picture of this person's lives or situation or business. You just gather the information. How old are you? Are you married? Are you single? Are you in a long-term relationship? Do you have any kids? How old are your kids? What do you do for a living? What is your income? What is your significant other? Do they work? If they work, do they contribute to the household income? If they do, how much? What is your education? What is their education? Do you own your own home? Do you rent your home? What kind of business are you in? What kind of business is he or she in? Or what kind of occupation? What kind of job do you have? What kind of job does he or she have? How long have you been in that job? Has your income grown significantly in the past year? Has your income changed significantly over the past year or two? So you're going to ask the questions that are relevant to whatever is that you do to understand their situation. And then you're going to say, okay, so now that I understand who you are as a human being, right, now tell me about the situation that you're in. But before you do that, you're going to say something along these lines. Before you do that, I want to tell you that most people, when they come to see us, are primarily concerned with three things. They're primarily concerned with their time, primarily concerned with their money, and primarily concerned with their reputation. May I take a few minutes to explain what each one of those mean? Most people are going to say yes. Please explain to me what each one of those things mean, and then you explain to them. Well, you know, in terms of time, when people are thinking about having a divorce, this is what happens with their time. This is what happens with their legal situation that they come and see us. Or what happens with their money? You know, these are the most common concerns that people have around money. Or regarding the reputation, usually what people that come to see us, they are worried about their reputation because of X, Y, and Z. And you tell them. And then you are going to ask them to tell you what their situation is. Each person is going to describe their situation in a little bit of a different way. But the idea is that now you have positioned their minds to explain to you how is it the situation that they are in is affecting their time. How is that the situation that they're in is affecting them time in terms of their money or financially? And how is that all of those things are worrying them about their future or about their reputation? And again, depending on the practice area that you have, you are going to describe the relationship with money a little bit different, the relationship with time a little bit different, the relationship about their reputation in a little bit of a different way. And when they speak, you're going to be listening for different cues and make sure that if they are not telling you how is that they are concerned about their time or their money or their reputation, you ask the questions to clarify all of those things. Okay. So you are going to have that conversation with them. And now, after they explain to you their circumstances and you clarify them, you maybe say something like, would you share with me a little bit about what is happening with blank, blank, and blank? Would you share with me a little bit of what is happening? How is this situation that you described to me affecting the time that you can spend with your family? How is this situation that you're describing to me is affecting you financially? Or what are the consequences that you can or could experience 2 years from now should the situation continue? And you always bring it back to their time, their money, and their reputation. Okay, how is that affecting you? How do you feel about being in a situation like the one you're in? And then you paraphrase what they told you. That's why you are taking questions. How do you feel about being in the situation that you're in? Why do you feel bad? Maybe they tell you, I feel bad because I am embarrassed. Or why do you feel then you keep on going? Why do you feel embarrassed? Well, I feel embarrassed because nothing like this has ever happened in my family before. Maybe I'm the first person in 5 generations about to get a divorce. Or maybe I am the first person in my family that ever to file for bankruptcy. Then you can continue the line of question. Why does it embarrass you to be experiencing something that nobody in your family ever experienced before? Do not assume that you know the answer. Do not assume that you know the answer. The point that I'm trying to make is you got to you need to drill deep, because the truth of the matter of what they are experiencing is going to be, please write this down. The truth of the matter is going to be and come up to the surface after around 5 whys. So if they tell you, I am embarrassed or I feel bad, then you ask, that's number one. Why do you feel bad? Well, I feel bad because I am embarrassed. Second why? Why do you feel embarrassed? Well, I feel embarrassed because nothing like this has happened in my family before. Okay, third why? Why does it embarrass you to be experiencing something that nobody in your family has experienced before? Another why. They tell you, and then you say, okay, because that makes me, I am afraid that I'm going to be judged by my parents and this and that and the other. Now we're getting closer to the truth. Now we're getting closer to the truth. Why are you afraid that your father is going to, or your mother, your friend, or your cousin, right, is going to think of you as a failure? And you keep drilling down. You need to keep going with the why. The problem is that most people stop in the first why, because when they tell you that they feel bad about filing for bankruptcy, or they feel bad about having a criminal case, or they feel bad about filing for divorce, because you are so close to your clients, you just assume that you know why they feel bad. But each person does things for their own reasons. And as a powerful salesperson, you want to uncover what the hell those reasons are for them. What are those reasons for them? You are going to feel a different kind of conversation when you get to the truth, because that is when their voice is going to change, their breathing is going to change, their whole energy and exchange between you two is going to change. And for the very first time, you are going to have a more authentic relationship with them. Then, after you get to the real truth, you are going to paraphrase back to them. And you're going to say, okay, let me see if I understand this correctly. This is what is happening. This is why you came to see us. This is how this is affecting you in terms of your time. And you tell them what they told you. This is how it's affecting you in terms of your money. And you paraphrase what they told you. And this is how it's affecting you in terms of your reputation. And you, this is how you feel about it, because X, Y, and Z, because your father is going to think of you, because your kids are going to do this, because your friends are going to do the other, etc. You need to paraphrase it back to them so they can listen to your words and they can be positioning their mind about the actual consequences that they are experiencing. And then you're going to say to them, do I have that straight? You need to confirm with them, do I have that straight? In most cases, they are going to say yes. In other cases, they are going to say, well, yes, but also X, Y, and Z. Yes, that's more or less accurate, but you forgot about this or that on the other. So that way you're getting their buy-in through the whole conversation. And then you're going to say, well, if I could wave a magic wand, if I could give you a magic pill, if I had a magic easy button and we could press it together here today, what would you like us to accomplish? How is that you would like this situation to change? You see, most people don't even think on those terms because they don't believe that what they want or the result they truly want is even achievable. So you need to tell them that if I had a magic wand, if I had a magic pill, if I could press a magic button, what would you like us to accomplish? How would you like this situation to change? And again, you're going to position their minds as they start answering, start asking more questions, and you're going to position this in terms of their time, their money, and their reputation. Okay, you are not going to ask him or ask them three questions at a time. You're going to ask one question at a time, and you're going to guide them through the analysis. They are going to tell you and describe to you how would they like their situation to be different. And they're going to describe how is that they would like to experience that. And the whole time you're going to be speaking to them and translating what they are telling you in terms of time, money, and reputation. And they're going to get to a place when they say, yes, absolutely, that's it. That's exactly how I feel. Okay. So that's when you're getting somewhere with them. So for example, then when we are having a conversation with a prospect for how to manage a small law firm, we might say something like, okay, I am going to ask you to imagine that is 18, 24 months from now. How would you like your law firm and your life to be different? And I explained to them, the reason why I'm saying 18 to 24 months is because usually that's how long it takes to create significant changes. Can we change a few things within a month or two or a quarter? Absolutely we can, but the kind of results that you're looking for are not going to happen in overnight, right? You need to disabuse them from the idea of the magic pill. So, but you, how would you like your life to be different, your business to be different, your law firm to be different 24 months from now? And you set a realistic time frame for them. And you know what will dictate the time frame that you use is definitely the area of practice that you have. And they're going to describe how they feel. And again, the truth is 5 levels deep. So when you tell them, you know, how is that you would like your business or your life or whatever you help them with to look like 5 years from now, 18 months from now, 12 years from now, 6 months from now, whatever the time frame is, you're going to apply again the why question. Why would that feel like a good resolution for you? Why would that make you feel good? Why would it feel relieving? Why would you feel proud of yourself? Why would it feel like a big weight has been lifted off your shoulders? Why would that make you happy? Do not assume that you know the reasons why. Do not assume that your reasons are their reason. Find out what the reasons are. And I'm telling you that the truth is always 5 levels deep. Okay? So let's make sure that you understand that clearly. And you are going to, after you understand the reason why, you're going to repeat everything back to them. This is why you came to see me. These are the consequences of the problems in your time, your reputation, your money that you're feeling right now because of this problem. Ideally, you would like to wake up 6 months from now, 18 months from now, 24 months from now, whatever the time frame is for your business, experiencing why. And when you achieve why, then you would feel good about it because you will be proud of yourself, because you would feel like you did the right thing, because you stood up for yourself, because X, Y, and C. Repeat it back to them, use their own words. And they're going to say yes, 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 or they're going to tell you more or add more about it. And you just keep taking notes, keep gathering information, and you keep digging. You're literally going on a scavenger hunt. And then you're going to say, okay, so let me ask you this. And this is where we get to the third part of this conversation. Very, very important that you do this so you can put things into perspective. If you keep doing things the way that you have been doing them and you didn't make any changes, if you didn't hire any help to help you with the situation where you are today, how do you imagine, or how do you imagine things would unfold in the next blank, 6 months, 12 months, in our case, and with how to manage 18 to 24 months? Your timetable will be different depending on your business. And generally speaking, the clients, the prospects are going to say, well, things would probably be the same, or things would be a little bit worse, or things are going to be worse. That's when they start thinking ahead. Now you're dealing with a person in a much more sophisticated, smarter, emotionally mature individual because you took the time to measure and to focus their minds. People will only buy today if the reasons to buy today are larger, bigger, stronger than the pain of parting with their money. I'm going to repeat that. people will only buy today if the reasons to buy now are bigger, harder, stronger than the pain of parting away with their money. And that's why you need to set the stage in the conversation about all these consequences and all these desires and why is it important for them so they can make an informed decision. You are not manipulating them, you are educating them. You're helping them see the truth of what is happening and why things would be worse, better, most likely worse, right? Remember, you're not attached to their yes, you are invested in them making a straight decision. Now, most people are gonna tell you, well, you know, I think when you ask them, if you keep doing things the way you're doing things and you didn't make any changes, if you didn't hire anybody to help you with the situation where you're today, how do you imagine that your business, your life, your marriage, your this, your the other would be in 24 months, in 3 years, in whatever the time frame is? Some people will say, well, you know, I don't think there's a lot that is going to happen. Things would be more or less the same. And this is where you need to dig deep into the pain. You need to make them aware of the consequences because nothing ever stays the same. If we have a problem and we don't fix a problem, then things are only going to get worse. And you say, oh, really? Are things going to stay the same? Because I gotta tell you that 2 years from now, your 16-year-old will be 18-year-old. And your 18-year-old would be 20-year-old. And you, instead of being 45 or 47, you're going to be 49. Two more years would have gone by and you would have been experiencing the same things that you're experiencing right now. And they're going to get worse. Let me explain to you how they are going to get worse. Let's say that you're dealing with anything that has to do with money. Your now 16-year-old is going to be 18. And he or she is going to go through college. And your 18-year-old is going to be 20-year-old. And she or he is still going to be in college. And now you're not going to have one tuition to pay, but two. So you need to focus their mind. Their lives are not going to stay exactly as they are right now. But most people are going to realize that only when you talk to them. Things get worse if we don't take action on the causes, the issues that are making things bad right now. Most people, in most cases, it's our experience that they will be able to realize that things are going to get worse. But some won't, and for those, you need to spell it out. For example, well, you know, if I didn't file for divorce, or if I didn't file for this, or didn't file for the other, if I didn't stand up for myself, I'll probably end up in jail, or probably X or Y and Z will happen. Or if I didn't do something with my ex, maybe I would probably lose all my assets, or I would have to start all over again, or my kids are going to suffer, or my intellectual property is going to be, you know, gone 2 years from now, or one of my competitors will file for a patent and I will miss my intellectual property and my opportunity, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then you need to dig deeper. Okay, let's imagine that your competitor files for a patent and you miss and waste all your time and all your money and all the things that you've put into actually creating this invention. How would you feel if that happened? Let's pretend that you wake up tomorrow and you know what, you allow that to happen to you. How would you feel if that actually happens? And you tell them, you know, if your competitor files for your patent, you lose your intellectual property, you're 2 years older, you don't have any more opportunities, etc. You spell it out for them. And then they're going to tell you, well, I will feel bad. I'll feel foolish. I'll feel stupid. I will feel irresponsible. I would feel reckless. I will feel impotent. Whatever it is that they tell you, do you need to drill down into the pain? What did I say? They came to see you for a reason. They have a problem that you have a solution to, but if you don't help them set their mind straight, they are not going to move forward into resolving their problem, okay? And then you are going to repeat everything to them back again. Okay, let me see if I have this straight. You're 48 years old. You currently have an 18-year-old and a 16-year-old. Your spouse says that your spouse has this income and that income and does this and does the other and blah, 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 blah. And you feel frustrated and confused and scared about it because blah, 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 blah. And you don't know how you're going to pay for college and tuition because you're experienced blah, 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 experiencing blah, blah, blah. And you can't afford to take your family on vacation and you don't have any free time in your life and you feel impotent because you're not able to blah, 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 blah. Do I understand that correctly? And then in most cases, they're going to say, yes, that's exactly what is happening. And then you keep on going and you want this and this and that, because when you actually achieve this and this and that, then that would mean that you really stand up for yourself. Do I understand that correctly? Yes. And maybe you add some things to it. And right now, if I had a magic wand and if I could give you a magic pill and if I had an easy button and if we can push just together today, 6 months from now, a year from now, you would like to feel or experience blah, 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 blah. And that is important because blah, 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 blah. So you need, this is where you recap the whole conversation for them again, so you can focus their minds again. Remember that you are not putting words into their mouth. You are keeping repeating the words back to them. You're not an asshole. You're not a whatever. You're just a mirror reflecting their words back to them. And then you say, and if you didn't do anything, you're then 2 years from now, you would experience this and this and that, and you recap the whole thing to them. And then they're going to say, yes, yes, this, that's it. Yes. Oh my God, that's so horrible. Oh my God, now that you put it that way. Oh my God, I had never seen the situation like this. Now you've managed their mind. And now you are going to ask them this next question. You're going to say and ask them, why do you believe that you are in the situation where you are today? How did you get here? How did this situation get created? You don't have a predictable income because of this and that. Your marriage is in the rocks because of this and that. You're not going to tell them. You are going to ask them. Okay? And then the answer is, you know what? There is just something that I don't know. I don't know how to do this on my own. I just didn't know about this. I just didn't know about that. There will be some variation of that. And the reality is that they're going to tell you, I cannot do it on my own. I've been trying to fix it. I've been trying to do this. I've been trying to do the other. And I have not been able to do it. Then your next question is, would you like to get some help today to make things better? So after you recap, after you all do all of that, would you like to get some help today to make things better? And the person is either going to say yes or no. If they say no, well, the appointment is pretty much over, right? You could ask if they say no and say, oh, you know, I am wondering, why did you set up the appointment? You know, you can go a little bit deeper and say, well, if you're not willing to make things better, why did you set up the appointment? And they might tell you and they might have a valid reason. But if they say yes, then you can say, may I propose some options for you? May I propose some options for you? Of course, they are going to say, yes, please. Tell me, I'm desperate. I need to fix this, etc. So please tell me. Okay, now this is where you want to give them an option. The first thing that we recommend you do is that we highly recommend that you get into the habit of proposing them to do nothing. Yes, you heard me right. Get into the habit of proposing to them to do nothing. Everyone has the option to do nothing. And if we don't mention that option, they will dismiss it as not an option, and you're going to have problems closing your sales. So one option that you've got is obviously you have the option of doing nothing. Now, we talked in here why this is a problem. You could do nothing and walk out of here with the same problem. And if you walk out of here with the same problem, 2 years from now, 6 months from now, you're going to experience this or that or that or that or the other. Remember, they already told you what would happen in their lives if they don't fix this today. And then you are going to ask them, is that an option that you would like to seriously consider today? Is doing nothing an option that you would like to seriously consider today? And 99% of the people are going to say, no, that is not the option that I want. Again, you're getting their buy-in. And if they say, yes, that's my option, that's it. You don't have to do anything. You can let them go. Now, most people are going to say, no, that's not an option. And I want to seriously consider that. I want to seriously consider today because I need to do something and I need to do it right now. If you ask this question, your conversion rates are going to go up. Okay. So then you say, well, you don't want to do nothing. You want to do something. So let's throw that one out. Second option you've got, and they have some people choose this option, and I want to present it to you because I want to see if this is something that you would consider. And the second option is that you could try to do this on your own. You seem like a smart person. You seem to have a good education. You're highly motivated. This that I'm offering you is not rocket science. We have a lot of experience. We're really good at doing this. We help hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people year after year after year. We have a pretty good track record, pretty good systems. We know what we're doing, but I'm telling you, you could figure this out of your own if you really wanted to. It might take you a lot of years. It might take you a lot of trial and error. You might mess up here. You might mess up there. But you could do it this on your own, or you could hire like legal aid to do it for you for $50 or whatever. Is that a conversation that you would seriously entertain? You need to ask them, is that a conversation? Is that an option that you would seriously entertain? Most people are going to say, no, I came in here because I'm finally ready to do something. So then we say, okay, fine. Let's get to the options. Based on what you've described to me, and you need to tell them again, this is your situation, this is how it's affecting you, this is what you want, and this is why is it important for you, then we can do any of three things for you. I have this all-encompassing package that is like the gold standard where you get A, B, C, D, E, and F, and we can do this and do that. That is $35,000. Or we can do this other package, which is the platinum package or the platinum matter that gives you A, B, C, D, and D, that is only $20,000. Or we have this small option just to get you started that can give you A, B, C, D, and E, that instead of being $20,000 is just $10,000. So which one would you like to take? You are assuming the sale. You describe the large first, the medium second, and the small third. I know that it will be natural in you to try to go the other way, small, medium, large. Don't do that. You need to focus their minds on large, medium, small, so you can close more sales and they can make a healthier decision to move their lives forward. If you go large, medium, small, and you do that for a while, it will start to become more natural to you. And I say that it will start to become more natural to you because I've been doing this for over 15 years. Arjun has been doing this for over 20 years. And sometimes we still make the mistake and we go small, medium, large. But try to catch yourself and always go from larger to medium to smaller. I want to say this right off the bat. I do not expect you to ever have a sales call or a sales consultation that goes exactly 100% like this. However, if you have this framework and you use what I'm describing to you here as a map, and you're consistently and constantly referring back to this map and to the plan, I'm telling you that your sales conversion and our conversions are going to go up through the roof. It has happened to us many, many times that we have a member where they had, let's say, 55% conversion rate, and they're doing well. And after 12 months, we start seeing a dip in conversions. And they go from 50 to 50, from 55 to 50 to 45 to 48 to 40. And when we start listening to those calls, they got off the framework. They forgot to dig deep into this area or to reflect back to the client what they said about this or that. They got out of the framework. So make sure that you have this by your side and you use it as a guide, okay? As a guide, stay close to it. 95% of the time, the most that you can. This outline that I am describing to you is an outline that you're going to see in your workbook laid out for you. It's a plan. It's something that you will implement and follow. And when you do, you're going to have the best sales calls you ever had. Certainly the most profitable ones, even if the conversation doesn't go exactly as I just described it to you, at least a framework to go through this conversation. And just know that at the beginning is going to be very unfamiliar, right? It's just going to be, oh, what did I have to do next? What is the next thing that I have to do? Then it will become second nature after a few months of doing this over and over and over again. At the beginning is going to be uncomfortable. After you become competent doing this, you will not be competent until after you have done this several tens of times, for some of you hundreds, but I would say, you know, probably after 20, 30 times, it starts to be way better for you. This is exactly what we teach all our members to do. This is exactly what we do in our business. The client relationship is a lifetime relationship. The work will be long forgotten, but the relationship that you build with your clients will continue to pay dividends for you for many years to come. So don't get hung up on squeezing every single dollar out of the first person. If they don't take the bigger package, that is fine. If they want to go with the medium package or the small package, it's okay. You just want the best for them, okay? So that's it. You know, after they tell you that they want to do X or Y or C, then what happens is that you say, okay, perfect. It's $5,000, this is, or $10,000, whatever the number is. This is how we get you started. And I'm going to bring the retainer agreement, and we take Visa, American Express, or MasterCard. Which one do you want to pay with? And in this case, you might have to start helping them with some handling the objections about money. Again, most people will have objections, and the objections are going to be either about money or time or relationships. Usually, oh my God, I would love to do it, but it's a lot of money. If you hear that, you say, okay, hold on. Let me just understand this correctly. You just told me that these are the things that you're experiencing right now. and you need to recap everything. You just told me that if you do nothing, you are going to experience this and this and this and that. Now, where is the problem? And then you can ask them, if money was not an issue, would you move forward with this decision? If the answer is yes, you can help them find the money. If the answer is no, I won't move forward with this decision, then you don't even bother, because then it's not about the money. It's really an excuse for them to sign up for this. Okay. That's it for now. I will open up for questions. If you have questions, please raise your hand. Tom, I still see your question raised, your hand raised. I think that you were able to unmute yourself. We'll see in a moment. But I just want to let you know that we are going to see all of you who signed up for the live bootcamp this Friday and Saturday in Phoenix. I'm actually already in Phoenix, and we are starting our business plan workshop that we offer tomorrow morning. And this is where we, you know, the lawyers that I told you that they paid $5,000 for us to do this with them is going to start tomorrow. Then the business bootcamp live session for you is going to start Friday and Saturday. There's still time for you to come. If you want to come, please let me know, and I will be happy to register you, and we'll be delighted to see you here. Okay, let's go with Tom first. Tom, you're unmuted on my side. Could you talk, please, to see if I can hear you this time?
Hello, can you hear me now?
Oh, there you go, fantastic, yes. What did you do to make it work?
The unmuted part was hidden behind.
Oh, okay, good, okay. I'm glad that you found it. Yep. Okay, Tom, tell me a little bit of what you do, your magic statement, and what your question is.
I handle family law cases, divorce and custody, and I kind of forgot about, honestly, about getting back to that magic statement. I had it written down, but I help people with their, you know, custody disputes and divorce cases. So,
okay. So I help people who are struggling with custody disputes or divorces achieve what? Freedom, happiness, what?
Help them to get more time with their kids, if it's a custody case, and to help them retain more assets if it's a divorce.
Okay, that's good for now. Okay, good. So, Tom, tell me your question.
Your last session actually raised a more pressing question for me. If I'm offering a large, medium, and a small package for these people, but I charge everyone hourly, I don't really see how to do that exactly.
Okay, so that is a first problem that we need to fix in your business. So, are you coming to the live event?
No, I can't make it.
Okay. Why not?
I have a hearing.
Oh, you have a hearing.
I signed up, but it was already scheduled, and I didn't know that I couldn't do it the same way I'm doing it now.
Oh, okay. Well, number one, what I would suggest is that you get on the phone with Eric Bloom. Please email me ericaf@howtomanage.com, and we might find other options for you to talk to somebody or something. Okay. Next thing I am going to say is, what you want to do is to try to create packages. If you keep on only billing by the hour, so every work that you do for your clients is going to be tracked hourly. That's not going to change. What is going to change is how you offer it to them. So you say, for example, let's say that you're talking about a divorce. And let's say that you know that normally you have two or three types of divorces. Maybe you have uncontested divorce without kids, uncontested with kids, contested with kids or without kids, and whatever. Right? Let's say that you have those three different cases. Uh-huh. And more or less, on average, you know, a regular case let's say that it's an uncontested divorce with no kids, will go around, let's say, $5,000. So you can tell the person, you know, I can more or less predictably tell you that around your case will be around $5,000. Now, it really depends on many, many situations and many, many different things, but it would be around $5,000. Now, now that it's $5,000, what I require from you is a 50% retainer that is going to be for $2,500. And then you can pay me and replenish your evergreen retainer with this way or that way or the other way. Now, if we exceed the word that I'm looking for. If we go over our billable hour is, for example, $400. In 90% of the cases, 95% of the cases, $5,000 is enough. But if we foresee this or that or the other circumstance, it might be more. If it happens, then we can have a different conversation. And that way you can say, well, you know what, your case more or less usually is this amount of money. And this is what we offer. So you don't have to offer three options, but you definitely can and will want to offer the option of doing nothing, the option of doing it themselves, which obviously they can't in this case, but they could hire like legal aid or something, and the option of doing it with you. And then you give them the option is going to be anywhere between 5 to 7,000. I suggest we begin with 5,000. This should take us up to more or less this result. And if something happens in your case, then we can discuss the next phase of the business, not the business, sorry, the case. Does that make sense? So you still track hourly, but you don't sell hourly. What happens when you sell hourly is that you can never get out of the hamster wheel.
Right.
So it's really, really difficult to make any financial projections for your firm, hiring decisions, because you don't never know what your freaking cash flow is going to be. So you cannot grow your business if you're just selling per hour.
Yeah, I do get retainers up front, but I'm always chasing the rest of the money too.
Of course, exactly. So we need to change, help you change. We don't need to change. We need to help you change your retainer model and how you're quoting your work and how you're collecting the money so you can actually dedicate yourself to actually doing the work rather than being a collections agency. That's really, really important. How many years have you been in business?
18.
18 years. And what is the most that you've ever grossed?
About
$270,000. Mm-hmm. And what is your goal? Like if I was telling you earlier, if I could, if I had a magic wand, if I had an easy button, what would you like to make during 2020?
$200,000.
What? You don't want to make more than that?
The net? No, that's all I really need, because I'm going to wind up probably spending more time with my family. So.
Okay. Just for you to know, so if you don't want to make more money, why did you sign up for this bootcamp?
Because it's more about managing a law office and seeing what I'm doing wrong.
Okay. But you said that you don't want to expand the law office.
No, not necessarily. Not really. I mean... When I say 200,000, I'm talking about the net. I know your formula's for me to make 600 to 750. So.
Oh, got it. 200 take home.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay. So that will take you probably 600,000. Okay. So you did 270 gross, I'm assuming, in 2019 or close?
2018.
Okay.
Last year, yeah.
Okay. So let's say if you could make 400,000 grows during 2020, would that be attractive to you?
Yes.
Okay. So I would suggest send me that email. Let's have a conversation to see how we can help you get there. Because even though you cannot come to the live event, there might be other options for us to help you get there, especially, you know, with family law and doing the kind of law that you're doing. Like it's really not rocket science. It's a very lucrative area of practice. So I don't see why you couldn't do that. And one of the things that I want to say is that actually, the more you grow the business, believe it or not, because this seems like a counterintuitive, but the more that you grow the business, the easier it is and the more time you can take off. Because right now at around $200,000, $250,000, $270,000, you pretty much are doing it everything yourself. And the more that you can leverage and delegate, the more you can take vacations, the more that you can take time off, the more time you can spend with your kids, because now you have a business producing for you. Right now, you are the business. And if God forbid something happens to you or you get sick or you need to be out of the office because your kid has a function or something, then there's no money being produced because it's you and only you.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so send me that email.
Quick question, I guess the last, your last name is Ferencia?
Ferencia, F-E-R-E.
Got it.
N-C-Z-I.
I'm just double checking the email.
Oh, the email is just Erica F.
Yep.
Erica with a K and just an F as in Frank at howtomanage.com.
Well, yeah, in the, where it says two, it actually spells your whole name out, so.
Oh.
I'm double checking it.
Interesting. Okay.
I've got it.
Good. Awesome. You're welcome. You're going to get an autoresponder from me because I'm already at the LQM, but I promise you I'll look for your email a little bit later or tomorrow morning.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, thank you. Bye, Tom.
Bye.
Okay, now 099.
Yeah, Erica, follow-up question. Can you,
hold on,
can you give us a little bit more detail? Sorry, Jay again.
Oh, Jay, uh-huh. Yes, Jay, go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. Can you give us a more detailed agenda about what we're going to be talking about at the actual live boot camp?
Yes, absolutely. What are you specifically looking for to make sure that I can address your points?
I'm just trying to get a sense of like what to expect more so than anything. I mean, you know, I've done the workbook stuff. I'll definitely have that stuff with me, but I'm just trying to figure out, are you guys just going to go back over in sort of like a broad way the workbook stuff, or are we going to have like any sort of, like, I just want to get more information about what exactly we're going to be talking about.
Yes, perfect. I understand what you're looking for. Okay, good. So let me tell you how it's going to go. In order for you to build a complete business plan, you need to look at least at seven parts of the business. You need, or eight really. You need to look at number one, your goals, personal, professional, financial, which is part of what we did here on week number one. Then you need to take those goals and then come up with the sales that you need to make out of those, to achieve those goals. And you need to learn how to sell, which is a little bit of what we did today and on last week. Then you need to use those numbers and translate them into your marketing and the number of leads that you need to attract. But then, which is what we did a little bit last week, but then also you need to create a marketing plan. So what are the activities and the actions that your law firm is going to be able or will have to do over the each week, each month in order to achieve that and create really a marketing plan? Then what, after that, you need to look at the people, right? Where, how, and how many people from each position in your law firm is required for you to do that. That part, we didn't do it. Then also you need to, because we didn't have enough time, right? Then the next part is, okay, the physical plant. Where is that these people are going to work, with which resources, with which location, with which systems, infrastructure, checklist, etc. Then you're going to look at your financial controls, what and how to build a cash flow projection, a budget, a forward-looking budget, a cash flow projection, a P&L, a balance sheet. How am I going to actually use the metrics in my business in order to know that I am moving forward? That we also didn't have time to do. And then lastly, you. What do we need to do with you? How are we going to develop you in order to be able to achieve all those goals? And then we need to take all that information and put it into a business plan that fits in two pages. I'm not going to say one, but in two pages. How do I make a summary as what do I do on each one of these things to be able to actually get to work Monday morning? So it's a little bit of what we have already covered, but it's going a mile deep on each one of the topics and then expanding to around 3 or 4 more topics that we just didn't have more time to cover in this 3 weekly calls. Does that make sense? So it's much more profound, much more robust.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then obviously besides that, you will have the opportunity to meet our current clients, right? And ask them any questions you have and, you know, just get to feel what it means and what, how it feels to be part of the bubble and to be in one of our events and build relationships that they can really, you know, last a lifetime on top of everything that I said. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, the LQM, like, you know, I know we go from probably like what 9 to 5. Will we have any opportunity to sit in at all at the LQM?
You're going to have an opportunity to join the first session on Saturday of the LQM. Now, if at that point, for whatever reason, you say, you know what, I just want to, I don't know if it was you, there was somebody, no, it wasn't you. Let me see. I think it was Richard that he told me, you know, just tell me where do I sign. I'm really too good, ready to join. And if you want to do that, you can absolutely transition from the bootcamp room to the LQM and already be with all of our members during Saturday and Sunday. You could do that, yes. But if not, you can, gotcha. You will okay. be able to be in that room on Saturday morning, and then you can go back to the bootcamp room and finish your business plan.
Got it. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. No, you're welcome. I'm looking forward to seeing you there.
Same here.
Okay. Awesome. Good. Thank you. Okay. Let me see. So that's Jay. Let me see. Mute. Lower hand. Anybody else? I still see a few of you. I know it's late and we've been going for like 3 hours. So please, last call for questions, *9 or *6. And if you have any questions, I'll be happy to answer you. If not, I will see you in Phoenix. Anyone? Questions going once? Questions going twice? No? Okay. So may you have a fantastic rest of your day. I really hope, and week, I really hope that I get to see all of you on Friday. There's still time for you to come. If for whatever reason you have a hearing, a trial, whatever, like Tom, that he cannot attend because of that reason, but you would like to talk about next steps and how to become part of this community, please send me an email and I will be happy to contact you or to put you in contact with somebody who can definitely have that conversation with you. Sometimes what we do is we do like a strategy session with one of our lead management advisors or lead CEOs or lead COOs or lead CFOs to help you strategize how to solve the issues in your business and give you obviously a little bit more information about the program. Is that something that you are interested on? My email again, Erica Ferenczi, Erica F with a K, E-R-I-K-A, F as in Frank, how to manage a small law firm. And you can send me an email. I will see you hopefully on Friday. And if not, may you have a fantastic rest of your week, of your day, of your month. And I hope to see you very, very soon. It's been an absolute pleasure to be here with you today. Okay, this is Erica Ferenczi signing off. Goodbye, everyone.